From Reboot, Illinois, Madeline Dubik, the author of How to Speak Midwestern, Edward McClellan, and Chicago hip-hop stars G Herbo and Lil Bibby. Now, here's your host, a man who is thinking of changing his name to Lil Justin, Justin Coffey.
I don't have the street cred for it. I would be average size, Justin. Maybe even a little tight around the waist, Justin. Yeah, that's my rap name. A little tight around the waist, Justin. New record coming out. Can I get that supersized? Hey, everybody, it's Justin Coffin. It's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin, and I'm with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Very excited to be here with you, as always. It's exciting to get a couple shows in a row here. We got another one tomorrow night. The Hawks are playing Thursday, Friday this week. I think that's the breakdown. But it's exciting to be here. I love it. You know, this is a great time of the year, March, early March, to be broadcasting in beautiful downtown Chicago to all of the area of all of the Midwest, which is appropriate for the show we have put together tonight. A great show lined up. We're going to talk with Edward McClellan. He's the author of How to Speak Midwestern. And he talks about so many different dialects that can actually sort of keep us apart. He talks about how people talk in Minnesota, Indiana, Missouri, and, of course, Illinois and Chicago. We'll talk with him about the history and the roots, and also hopefully he'll give us a little bit of a history lesson. Maybe, a couple of different dialects and accents tonight. Edward McClellan coming up in the 9 o'clock hour with his book, How to Speak Midwestern. Coming up this hour, we're going to talk with Madeline Dubik. We're going to reboot with Reboot Illinois' Madeline Dubik. I like that, reboot, you know, with a download, reboot. Anyway, we'll talk state politics. Great piece she had today in Reboot Illinois about why the grand bargain fell apart and the forces that were pushing against Governor Rauner and putting a lot of pressure on state senators, Republican state senators, to not vote for the bills that were put forth on the grand bargain and how it all fell apart. Essentially, on some of the more controversial bills, the bills that were more liberal-leaning, and this is so interesting, there was pressure from the right wing of the Republican Party to tell all the senators, if you vote for this, we're going to take money away from your campaigns. And so the deal that Governor Rauner and Senate Minority Leader Christine Rodonia put together fell apart because they did not actually want to bargain. That's what the Madeline Dubik's talking about, that there were some of the bills that were going to come up for that were more on the Democratic side. They were going to get zero Republican votes. It's a fascinating look into what happened in Springfield and, again, the reason why we continue to not have a budget in the state of Illinois. We'll talk about that coming up here after the 7:30 news. My guest tonight at the big table, very excited about this, Chicago hip-hop stars G Herbo and Lil Bibby. Yep, both of those guys came up through the streets. They were street rappers on the east side of Chicago in the South Shore neighborhood. They were able to sign with major record labels, and they now have, both of them have careers that you can hear on all the radio stations and in different places that you would consume hip-hop, say XXL, All-in-One Hip-Hop, Complex Magazine, things like that. These guys are on fire. They're the big deal. And they came out of Chicago. They were part of the drill scene here in Chicago. Just sort of, as we know, the Chief Keef and some of the other rappers that came from the south side of Chicago. We'll talk with them about living life and creating art in the shadow of such violence and what they think about what's happening in Chicago, especially how it plays out on a national scale with President Trump tweeting about it and the idea of the National Guard in Chicago. So we'll talk with both of these guys who are now the sage old wise men of 21 and 22 years old. It's amazing to think about. These guys are, I mean, these are probably, you know, been in the business now 7-8 years rapping, but they started when they were so young. You know, G Herbo came up at 79th in Essex. You can see it in the videos, and he's just this kid, 15-year-old kid rapping on the corner. And now he's 21 years old, and he is actually principal for it. He's honorary principal for a day at South Shore Prep High School tomorrow. It's a big story today that with Chance giving money to CPS, G Herbo is the principal for a day at South Shore Prep. That's amazing to think about that. So we'll talk with him about what he's going to say What's he going to tell the kids? Both those guys, along with Andrew Barber from Fake Short Drive, they have a big show at Metro sold out tomorrow night. So they'll be here on the download tonight. So excited to have them. Also, we'll play the worst. It's Tuesday night. Mars Timms and Elizabeth Gomez will be here. We'll complain about the worst things in society for prizes. 312-981-7200. Elizabeth and Mars, regulars on the worst, so it's great to have them together. And we will get at that at 10 o'clock. And also, Jason Erkes is going to join us. Jason, a long time. He was the owner of Chicago Sport and Social. He's made a transition in his career to really getting more into the world of business consulting and essentially sort of assessing risk, helping businesses understand the risk that's in front of him. And where he's at right now is he is working with companies that are selling the product cannabis, medical marijuana companies, to understand what might be the risk in their future when it comes to politics, the Trump administration, and the growth of a business that is really sometimes defined by who actually is in political power. So we'll talk with Jason Erkes about what he's telling his clients about the future of marijuana, medical marijuana, and others with the Trump administration. That's all coming up tonight. What a show. Oh, man. Damn, now we got to do the show. It's not just enough to talk about it. We got to do it. News, weather, and traffic with Rob Martier and Esmeralda Leon tonight. Production provided by Pete Zimmerman. I'm Justin Kaufman. This is The Download, a show about Chicago starring those who know it well. All right, we'll take a break, come back, do the carryout. Stay with us. All right, it's The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. We got a great show lined up, so why don't we get to it? It's time for the carryout. Of course, do this every night. It's where I read the news, so you at home, you don't have to. All right, here are today's top stories. WikiLeaks dumped the biggest set of classified documents in its history today, all from the CIA. The takeaway, guess what? The CIA is using your technology against you. They can use your phone, your car, your TV, probably your fridge, toaster and flat iron, toilet and toilet paper to spy on you, anything. The revelation would be a much bigger deal if we didn't already know that. I mean, there's a big part of the American population that's just in the screw it zone. You know what I mean? We know you can look. We have no shame. Go at it. It's all yours, cowboy. How else would we be able to deal with the crushing truth that we're constantly being surveillanced? I mean, we just go with it. Far out, dude. Far out. The Republican House plan to replace the Affordable Care Act has run into some in-party disapproval. Conservatives in the party are like repeal and replace, more like repeal and reheat. The same dish we had yesterday. Am I right? High fives? They just don't like it. They want health care completely out of the hands of government. No more entitlement programs. They argue that this just creates a new entitlement that the country cannot afford. Because of the party friction, it's questionable whether or not they have the votes to pass it out of the House, through the Senate, and possibly back to the House. Dems across the board are unified in opposing the new health care plan. President Trump said he backs the plan and it needs to get done quickly, in part because that's what every Republican ran on to get elected. Oh, joy. Tomorrow's being dubbed the Day Without Women. Organizers are planning a strike asking women to skip work. The goal is to show society what it would look like without women. There have been some to suggest this idea is somewhat classist, as higher income women with work flexibility can strike while working class and poor women are forced to lose money and possibly their jobs for the action. I would say that women in Congress and the Senate may want to think twice, because you know that those dudes are going to move fast and pass anything related to women's issues when they're not there. You know they're going to do that. We strike. Good. Quick, quick. Birth control. Quick, quick. Mumps. Oh, no. Mumps. The virus is spreading in the area. Three cases at Barrington High School, one in Liberty, Arlington Heights, and Lake Zurich. And they're all looking at a patient as well in an elementary school in Andersonville. Are you sure it's mumps or is it just March? Sure this isn't like senior ditch day? Nobody's figured it out yet? Oh, it's mumps. You took a blood test? Good. Sorry. Is mumps one of those viruses we had under control and now it's back because of Donnie Wahlberg's wife or Twitter or something like that? I didn't really do the research on that. It feels like it, doesn't it? Mumps. Feels like a 1930s kind of thing. Say, we all have the mumps. One of the rarest animals on the planet, the beaked whale, was finally captured on video. The video shows the majestic whale in its habitat. Then it goes into an LA restaurant and it's putting its fin in a camera's face. Give me space! I think he slapped a paparazzi too, so the video cut off, so I'm not sure. But lawsuit. A new study says that as more and more Americans become obese, more and more Americans are just giving up. What? They aren't changing to healthy habits or trying to lose that weight. Or may I make an argument that it's the healthy skinny people have truly given up? Huh? Think about that. Topper's Pizza, speaking of, the Topper's Pizza chains throughout Chicagoland just packed up and closed up shop this weekend. Yeah, I guess they did it so quietly that nobody noticed. But then again, who was ordering Toppers that would remember that they ordered Toppers the next day, right? I mean, come on. Come late Saturday night, next Saturday night, you're going to have drunk roommates yelling, I think the website's broke, bro. It's not working. Let's just go get a frozen pizza from the Walgreens. Naples, Florida was named the happiest city in America for the second year running. Beautiful area. Been there many times. But happiest? Well, I guess if happiness is hanging out by the ocean all day, eating dinner at 4 o'clock and being in bed by 7, well, then yeah. They're a regular Bobby McFerrin. They also have a bar where a dude plays acoustic guitar to a karaoke track. So, hey, yeah, that's like the definition of happy, right? Playing Bye Bye Miss American Pie. Happy. In weather, it looks like severe weather's over, but the wind is on its way. Doesn't look like snow this weekend, but it could come Monday, and then it'll probably snow until July. That's probably what's going to happen. In sports, NFL sources say the Bears are going to offer a contract to Tampa Bay Buccaneer backup quarterback Mike Glennon. Free agency starts tomorrow. Glennon was highly touted but really hasn't played in 2 years because he's behind Jameis Winston in Tampa, who was drafted to take, well, Mike Glennon's place. Forgive Bears fans for not being like Super Bowl with this news. Glennon's name just surfaced as a viable free agent the last couple weeks. He's not even considered the first, second, or third option for free agent quarterbacks. But hey, his last name's not Cutler, so all right, good job, Bears. We'll take it. Also, WGN Radio's Adam Hogue did a new mock draft, and he has the Bears picking Jabril Peppers with the third pick, the standout at Michigan. He can play safety, linebacker, corner. He can cover in the slot. He can return kicks. Wait a second. Are we talking about a combination of Urlacher and Hester? Yes, please. In. Doesn't matter. Draft him. The Bulls fell apart late last night again. Big loss to the Pistons. Now they're tied for the 7th seed or the 8th seed, whichever way you look at it. They're one air ball away from being on the outside looking in. In other words, Bulls basketball. The World Baseball Classic starts up this weekend. Javi Baez is skipping out on Cubs camp to play for Puerto Rico. He must be so excited and proud to play baseball for his homeland, right? I mean, it's excited. It's every athlete's dream, and don't you dare get hurt or you are dead to us. If you pull a hammy, sir, I don't care where you're from. You're in a spot. You're this close to getting a Garrett's popcorn ad, Javi. Maybe skip the World Baseball Classic. Just saying. Also, a new rule in the MLB this year, no hazing. Well, more specifically, you can't make rookies wear lady clothes. That's like a thing. That's a big thing with baseball teams still. They force their rookies to dress in cheerleading outfits like they're the jocks from Revenge of the Nerds. I agree with the rule. Not because I care about gender discrimination. It's just a really dumb bit, right? Come on, it's 2017. How awesome, you're in a cheerleader skirt. Oh, man, baseball's so fun. And finally tonight, don't expect Alec Baldwin to play Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner later this month. Trump declined to attend. The media was trying to draft Baldwin to take his place, but Baldwin said no to the invite, and he also hinted that his days are numbered playing the president on Saturday Night Live. That's too bad. But you know what? More from Melissa McCarthy, and you know they're going to do it. That's the carryout for March 7, 2017. Hey, if you come in early tonight, we've got a limited amount of crazy straws for the first 50 customers, you know, to celebrate March Madness. You're welcome. All right, coming up, Madeline Dubeck's going to be here. We'll reboot this week's news in the State House. What happened to the grand bargain? A great piece about how it all broke down at the end of last week. Madeline will be here, and we'll talk state politics on the download, 720 WGN. Stay with us. Rob Martier, how are you tonight, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm ready to go. Got a big show tonight.
I know.
I'm excited.
Are you a
G Herbo Lil Bibby fan?
I've got all their tracks.
You got all their tracks?
Absolutely.
They're coming up at 8 o'clock.
I must admit, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, no. That's okay.
But no, they you know, I mean. Look.
I've gone down the rabbit hole Like, I've gone from YouTube clip to YouTube clip. There's a lot of stuff on there. I'm like, wow, that's a lot of gold chains.
Well, what's interesting,
a lot of gold chains in these videos.
Well, is that I like most, I kind of scratch the surface of hip-hop. I know the key artists, you know, the key players.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting to see the talent that comes out of this city.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they got something to say. They got something to say about Chicago and what's happening on the south side. So we'll talk with them coming up.
Well, hopefully they can help.
Yeah. Thanks, Rob. So download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Well, it's time to reboot with Reboot Illinois' Madeline Dubeck. She's in studio every week here on the download, as much as we can get you in here around the Blackhawks schedule. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
So a great piece today, Reboot Illinois, PolitiFact Illinois. I'm amazed at sort of the backroom dealings of and the story that's out there about the failure of the grand bargain. Last week we talked on Thursday that it was falling apart.
Yep.
Even as we speak, or the next day, I mean, it just died. It you realize that this was not going to happen. And your article really points to, oh boy, there was a lot going on behind the scenes.
There was a ton going on behind the scenes. It was within, it seemed like within minutes. It might have been a little bit longer than that, but I had emails land in my inbox from John Tillman at the Illinois Policy Institute, completely dumping all over the grand bargain and threatening anybody on the Republican side who voted for it.
Now, the Illinois Policy Institute, they're going to be more of a right-wing.
They're a libertarian, yeah, right-leaning think tank.
And they don't like the idea of what essentially was at the core of this was a compromise. The Republicans get a little bit, Democrats get a little bit.
Right.
They don't want anything to do with that.
Nothing, no compromise. So they have their own budget plan, which is nothing but cuts and no tax increases, which most people would tell you is pretty much impossible at this point after almost 2 years without a budget.
Right.
So they dumped on it, and Dan Proft, who has lots of money to spend in campaigns from something called Liberty Principles Political Action Committee, also dumped on it and began suggesting that any Republican who voted for this would have a primary.
Got their attention.
If they're up for election.
Not only a primary, but it would take money away from their reelection
exactly.
campaigns. I mean, but how does Governor Rauner react to this? I mean, because Governor Rauner has been behind the scenes in trying to make this compromise work. Does he stand up to the Illinois Policy Institute and Liberty and all the people that are going against this?
It would appear that he stood up by saying, hold on a second here, and let's not have everybody vote for this just yet. And either the governor himself or his aides started calling Republican senators, who quickly began falling off of voting for the second half of this compromise, which included the tax increases, major school funding changes, pension reform was still yet to be voted on. You know, all the really big, important things. And so then you had Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio going to John Cullerton, the Senate president, who's a Democrat, and saying this really delicate thing that we were this close to passing that we've worked on for the past two and a half months,
right.
I'm going to be the only one on my side voting for it if you call this
now,
like we planned.
And this was, like you said, the harder stuff was towards the back end, but the plan of the grand bargain, we talked about it last week, was 12 bills that had to pass. If one didn't, they all didn't.
They all have to pass or they all fail.
So they were able to sort of stumble through the first five or six, and then they got to the harder stuff and it fell apart. Now, the question I have is, it sounds like, you know, the idea of the grand bargain is that both parties give up something to gain this essential political pressure to put on Speaker Madigan.
Exactly.
I mean, Democrats voted in the first five or six for things that were not in their interest. I mean, that can't help them. It cannot help the tenor down in Springfield that Republicans bailed when it was their turn to pony up.
Not at all. You know, you could pretty much see the steam coming out of Democratic senators' ears as this developed. And there's no trust there anymore. You know, when you get that close to kind of walking off the plank together and half of the people decide they're not stepping out on that plank, once the trust is lost, what is left?
Yeah.
And so they're now scrambling to try to see if they can piece something back together and get this done. But as of today, there were no votes.
All right. So let's just a couple questions I have, just sort of general questions for you as an observer in Springfield and some longtime political editor here in the state of Illinois. Is Governor Rauner a good politician?
During campaign season, he can be a very good and very disciplined politician. He has had probably the worst week of his 2.5, not quite 2 years, a little over 2 years in office. Between that event, and he is really the one wearing the jacket for it, you know, editorials all over the state calling him out and blaming him for this
a whole grand bargain that was designed to put the jacket on Mike Madigan. They didn't even give the jacket to the House. Not a good start.
It's as if the governor walked into the jacket that he didn't know was being held open for him.
Oh no!
And then the whole Chance the Rapper thing that happened at the exact same time.
And once again, you know, to refresh, I mean, this has been a big story. The big story with Chance the Rapper is that he wanted to have a serious meeting about Chicago Public Schools with the governor. And it feels like only really from accounts of the meeting, there hasn't actually been a formal account, whether it be from Chance or from the governor. They both just sort of used things like it didn't go well. But it sounds like the governor didn't really take it seriously. He threw out vague answers to Chance, and Chance wanted more than just sort of, you know, congratulations on the Grammy.
Yeah.
Right? That's really what it was.
Right.
It feels
like
they didn't know what they were meeting about.
I think, I think the governor, you know, essentially said, you and I could do things together. And Chance walked into that meeting, it sounds like, expecting to have a very serious, fairly detailed conversation about how the governor can help Chicago Public Schools. And
he didn't get that. No.
So within, you know, 48 hours, he showed up at a Chicago Public School with a giant $1 million check and called on everybody else to join him and get something done, and kind of flattened the governor with that giant check.
Madeline Dubek's my guest tonight. We're rebooting this week in the State House. No votes today. She joins us weekly here from she's the publisher at Reboot Illinois.
ReBootIllinois.com. ReBootIllinois.com.
Subscribe. Okay, so, all right, so the first question was about Bruce Rauner. The second question is, I have to ask about Leader Redonio.
Yep.
To be in a position where she has compromised and been able to work with the Democrats to then not be able to deliver one vote on any of the issues, is her leadership in question? Does that actually look bad for her when it comes to sort of a vote of confidence from the Republican Party?
You know, it does not look good, but her governor, in my view, left her out hanging to dry in the wind with, you know, no net beneath her. He is the Republican Party. He is the leader. He is the equivalent of Mike Madigan on the Republican side of the aisle. And when he tells people to not vote for some bills, when he has $50 million in his campaign fund and, you know, pockets that don't end, they're going to listen to him and not to her.
All right. My third question on this is about the Democrats. Do they feel any mounting pressure the twofold question. One, they have to look good. So it was just within right around, I feel like, the end of the lame duck session, there was rhetoric heating up for Mike Madigan to finally do something for the state of Illinois. This whole grand bargain was really to put pressure on Speaker Madigan.
Yep.
The first part of the question is, Speaker Madigan, this obviously has to be good for him and the Democrats. And secondly, do they have any pressure on them to come up with something to get us out of this budget stalemate?
Yeah, I think they still have some pressure. I think the pressure just shifted in a major way over to the Republicans feeling the pressure after this whole thing collapsed at the end of last week. But, you know, certainly they're hearing from their constituents as well they need to hear from more of their constituents, and more of us need to let them know that this stuff that's been happening is not acceptable, and continue to put pressure on them. There are a couple of them that stood up on the floor of their chambers today and talked about how this is unacceptable, and every day that we go without a budget, we're spending $11 million more than we're taking in. So that's all
every
on
day.
Tax. Every day, $11 million. We spend $11 million more than we collect in tax revenue. So that is debt that continues to add up and add up and add up. And so everybody who has state rep or state senator or governor or some statewide title in front of their name ought to be feeling pressure right now, but they're only going to feel it if you and I bring that pressure to bear and do not let up on the gas.
The other story this week, which is a smaller story, but it's one that I think is pretty interesting, is the relationship between Governor Rauner and Comptroller Susana Mendoza, now a Democrat. Leslie Munger held that position till the election. She lost to Susana Mendoza. That's trouble for the governor because, in a way, having the comptroller, who was really the financial arm of the state of Illinois, be able to spin stories, to put it on the legislature, to put it on the speaker. Now he has a Democrat who came up with a financial analysis who just putting all on Governor Rauner.
Right. So Leslie Munger was appointed by Bruce Rauner after Judy Bartopinka died. So he had his hand-picked comptroller Republican in that office. Now he has Susana Mendoza, who came out of
the House, yeah.
The House and Mike Madigan's leadership, and she considers him a mentor. And she is going no holds barred after the governor at every opportunity. So the comptroller has a responsibility every year to issue an annual financial report. And Susana Mendoza issued hers today. And, you know, the Medicaid and health insurance bills in the state of Illinois more than doubled in 1 year that haven't been paid. So it was $2 billion worth of unpaid bills. Now it's $4.3 billion or something close to that. The state, between pension funds and everything else, has about $180 billion in unpaid bills and debts and obligations.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's
that's a
number that's so big
that's
so that you can't even conceive of
and
it.
And you add 11 million
every day. Every day.
So
that goes
okay.
by without
right.
a grand bargain or a budget being done. So Mendoza ripped into the governor and said his leadership has been abysmal and the condition of the state finances is abysmal and it's all his fault. And he, of course, turned around and said, wait a second there. You came from the state house and you passed a lot of these unbalanced budgets that helped to accumulate this debt before you got here. So, you know, why don't you help us pass a balanced budget?
Last question. With the dismantling and epic fail of the grand bargain in the Senate, what's next? I mean, you talked about trust. You talked about these leaders. I mean, right now there's no votes that are coming out. I mean, is there a sense of urgency that the leaders have to get past their bruised egos and get back in the room and come up with an alternative plan?
I'm not sensing any sense of urgency yet. I think this week and the next few days are going to be absolutely critically important, and everybody who is hearing me speak right now ought to be calling their lawmakers and telling them they need to get something done. If we don't see this thing get cobbled back together in the next week or two, then I think we are getting perilously close to going until the next election in November of 2018.
No, you didn't.
Before anything
you did
gets
not
done.
Just say that.
I did.
On this radio show. I mean, I make jokes about that at the top of the show in the carryout. I make that joke and you just gave it a reality.
I am sitting here looking at you with a very serious expression on my face.
Madeline Dubik is the publisher of Reboot Illinois, rebootillinois.com. Go there, get a subscription. Madeline joins us every week here on The Download. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Take care.
If we ran our homes, 224, if we ran our homes like we did, that like they do, we'd be out on the streets. It's ridiculous. 847 says $1 million of that just goes straight to bloated pensions.
Yeah.
224 says, can we stop paying the government and state legislature till we get a budget? That's been tried. They tried to go to the courts, and the courts have put a special, I guess, a special law in that says that state workers can be paid during this budget. So I guess it's stalemate. That word seems wrong, but that's what they're saying. 262 says, why don't you just reset the districts to even? I guess that means like the redistricting movement, like the idea of make everything 50-50. But I don't know if this is really a political thing. You know, the idea, and then 773 says, what did Madeline just say that scared Justin? What scared me was the fact that if this next week does not go to plan, if they don't come up with something that is closed doors, that brings up a new plan now that the grand bargain is out, that there's a good chance that we don't see anything till, what, November? And it's not even November. She's at Election Day, which I was thinking, isn't that the next year? Because then you get into nobody wants to pass a budget because nobody wants to be on a hook for tax increases. So it's almost like a do or die that it has to happen in the spring session because politics, if it hasn't already gotten in the way, will get in the way when it gets too close to primary season, which is ridiculous. And the idea that either party would wait and say, let's just see, they should all be kicked out. Sorry, but we've done this dance. We just did it. The Trump election was all about, let's just see, let's just say, let's all, you know what, we're in the middle of something. Let's not do any governing for 8 months until this is over. And so we're not even, what, 4 or 5 months into it, and that is coming back up? You know, let's just see, next election. And what's going to change? You're going to get majority party? I thought we just had majority party with Pat Quinn and Mike Madigan and John Cullerton. You think it's going to change if Republicans take over the state house and the Senate? Probably not. Maybe, maybe not. Not a good outlook. Right when we were doing that segment, it started to pour right outside the studio. So I think it's a bit of an omen. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guests are two of the biggest young names in hip-hop. G Herbo, also known as Lil Herb, and Lil Bibby will be on stage at the Metro tomorrow night as part of a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. These two artists are now big names in the rap game, but to Chicagoans, they've been on our radar for years.
G Herbo. Yeah, I mean, I've been through it all, man. Everything under the sun, man. I do this for everybody that come from the struggle, man, the gutter, what I come from, man, that could relate to my struggle and everything I've been through and what I put in to get to where I'm at. So this is for who is fuck.
Roaches, rats in apartments, mama smoking, baby starving, sisters loaded, discharging. I grew up in all it. Get away, no slums, bottom, what you want to call it. Nobody role models, everybody lost.
Herbo and Lil Bibby grew up together on the east side of Chicago in the South Shore neighborhood where they started as street rappers in the drill scene, a scene that's uniquely Chicago for both the sound and the soundtrack. But they've emerged from that scene. They've graduated, if you will. But these artists write and perform music about their lives. And it's easy to just go with the stereotype, young rappers glorifying sex, drugs, and violence, the whole package. But if you listen closer to the music, you realize their story is a familiar one, one from coming up from nothing and making something. Herbo and Bibby have been constantly working, whether it's their own mixtapes or collaborating with artists like Nicki Minaj, Juicy J, Wiz Khalifa, Common, Chance, and many others. And with the news about Chance giving $1 million to CPS, the other big story is that G Herbo has been named an honorary principal for a day at South Shore International College Preparatory High School in Chicago. That's going to be tomorrow, where G Herbo returns to his neighborhood to give a speech and talk to students about the music industry. Yeah. In studio with me tonight, the veterans of the Chicago drill scene at the wise old age of 21 and 22, respectively. Guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
What's up, man?
Also joining me tonight, our old friend, straight from the Grammys. You didn't bring your red velvet tux.
I didn't. I should have worn it. I didn't know you wanted me to. I would have brought it with me.
Absolutely. From Big Shore Drive.
The red velvet tux on, man.
That's nice.
I went full-blown Suge Knight on him. I had to.
He's the man behind the influential Chicago hip-hop blog, Fake Shore Drive, Andrew Barber. Andrew, great to see you. And you've been, and you know, Herb, you were on the show as well, and it's great to catch up with you guys again. Andrew, talk about these artists before we start. I mean, these are two influential artists. I mean, I think I really, when I say they're the biggest young names in hip hop, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. Two of my personal favorites have been for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And funny enough, you know, we're kind of full circle. So one of my first shows that I ever did with Red Bull Sound Select was in 2013. It was the second one we ever did. And we had Herb and Bibby on that show as openers. So it's fantastic to come full circle now. You know, they're headlining, you know, one of the most historic venues in Chicago, the Metro, and the demand is crazy. I mean, I'm the most popular guy in the city today. Everybody is calling me, trying to get on the list, trying to get tickets, trying to get into this. So, you know, it's just amazing to see and the growth and that these guys are still, you know, killing it five years later.
What's it mean to be back in Chicago playing a place like the Metro, Herb?
Man, it means a lot. It feels good just because, you know what I'm saying, we don't really get to perform as much as we would like to at home just by us, you know what I'm saying, being artists that we travel a lot, and a lot of what's going on in Chicago on the outside looking in, people think that it's a dark cloud over me and Bibby. Like, we have a hard time performing at home, or it may get shut down, when that's never really the case with us, you know what I'm saying?
You get grouped in with other artists, like Chief Keef, things like that, but that's not the case.
A lot of negative things that go on in Chicago, whether it's with other artists or just situations that may have happened. People may think that, you know what I'm saying, we get blackballed, or maybe we, you know what I'm saying, whether it's police or whatever the case, that we're not welcome as much at home. And we want to really show them the opposite, that we do get a lot of love, sometimes more love home than we may in other places.
Baby, how's it feel to be back in Chicago to play Metro with Herb, to play in front of a sold-out crowd like tomorrow night?
It feels good, man. I'm happy that they letting us perform at one of the best venues.
Excited.
I know I've been there before with Uzi when he performed. I went out and did a few songs, but I'm happy to see that they're, like, getting us out of the little stereotype that they have all Chicago artists in, man. So it's good to be performing in front of
the city. Let me ask you guys, what is that stereotype? I mean, is the stereotype that, you know, that you guys are going to cause too much trouble? Like the audience that's going to come out?
They may think it's the audience that may come out, or maybe, you know what I'm saying, because with us being artists in the way where we come from, and just like you said, with the whole drill scene, and even so, when we first started rapping, we always had to separate ourselves from that, because we always been artists that just talked about our personal situations and our life and everything we've been through and want to overcome, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the stereotype, they're usually, you know what I'm saying, maybe negative energy, or they may attract this crowd, or they may bring these certain group of people out. But really, we may have a crowd full of college preps kids, or, you know what I'm saying, just... Mm-hmm. college students, or whatever the case, kids from Elgin and Skokie, all out that just want to come out and, you know what I'm saying, experience everything that we experience, because we want to see our fans, you know what I'm saying? We get a kick and a drive and just a certain emotion just from feeling that love from other ethnicities and other people that we didn't even know we touched through our music.
Andrew, is it tough? I mean, is it tough for drill artists, from Chicago artists, to shake that stereotype? I mean, when you're talking about booking clubs or trying to put shows on in Chicago?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that's always an issue. I think a lot of venues get nervous about booking people at home, you know, especially in Chicago. But I've done numerous shows with Herb. We've done them in Austin. We've done them in L.A. We've done them in Chicago, and never had any issues. And it's always been great. It's just been a really fun, excited, engaged crowd. And, you know, I've only done one with Bibby. And the first one we did was amazing.
Honestly just get better, honestly. Like, the first show we did was at the Double Doors,
right?
That was about 3-4 years ago. And it was crazy, you know. So it only gets better. And me and Bibby, we just performed what was that, Star Bar? Maybe about a month and a half ago, and it was crazy, you know. And I was there a week before, and he came the week after, you know what I'm saying? We did each other's set list. So
is it great, Bibby, for you, I mean, to play? Is it something special about playing in Chicago? I mean, to be able to continue to
Chicago
do that?
Chicago always gives us, like, the best energy, you know what I'm saying? And it's always good to see your hometown messing with you heavy, you know what I'm saying? That's basically where, you know, you get your solid fan base from, you know, right. Your hometown.
Do you guys recognize the fan base expanding? I mean, you mentioned the college prep kids and Skokie and Elgin and other places. Do you recognize as you guys continue in your careers that the fan base expands? It's not the same guys that were listening to when you were 15, 16 years old?
Right. I mean, of course, because that's what we strive for. We strive to grow as artists and young men, too, at the end of the day, you know. So we want to touch other lives, and really, you don't have to experience or didn't have to experience anything that we went through in the past, you know what I'm saying, just to really see that we're trying to overcome it, and we want positivity in our city, and we want to be considered as role models, you know what I'm saying, for people who just may want to stay in school, you know, just to give them that motivation. No matter what you're doing, I apply the same focus to my music that you could apply to being a doctor or a lawyer, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? So that's what we really try to speak in our music and just in general as men, you know what I'm saying, to the youth and to people all over our city, you know what I'm saying? I feel like if we can't be role models in our city, we can't anywhere else in the world.
Can I add something real quick?
Please.
Funny enough, I had an email today from a group of students at like Green Bay College in Green Bay, Wisconsin, that are driving down for the show tomorrow that ask if they could get in with their student IDs.
See, that's crazy.
There you
go. So like, it's not just Chicago. We got people coming from the greater Midwest area right. down.
Exactly. Hip hop artist G Herbo, Lil Bibby in studio, Andrew Barber from Fake Short Drive as well. We're talking about the show that's at the Metro tomorrow night, put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Short Drive. Let's continue to talk about positivity and role models and your principle for a day stint. You're using your time wisely here in the next couple days. Here on The Download, we'll take a quick break. Stay with us.
My mama used to say, never quit. Now, baby, that just don't exist. And just because she a suck your dude, don't mean you could trust the boo. I'm just giving you the real, because I don't come from Hollywood or Beverly Hills. I'm from where mothers don't care and babies get killed. Where you got rob and go steal for stomachs to fill. And it's hard for a young black.
Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Oh, it's great to have in studio G Herbo, Lil Bibby. Been fans of yours for a while, guys. I was telling Bibby before we started, I feel like I know you guys just from Instagram. Like early on.
Don't judge us, man.
Also in studio tonight, Andrew Barber. He's the man behind Fake Short Drive. G Herbo, Lil Bibby. We should expect something, a collaborative record you guys are working on, No Limitation.
Yeah.
But G Herbo, Strictly For My Fans mixtape, Free Crack 3. The epilogue should be out soon for Lil Bibby. It's great to have. I mean, you guys have been so prolific in the way that you are continually putting out music. Talk about that evolution from the days from when you started, and you watching some of the videos on when you guys were 15, 16 years old, standing on the corner at 79th and Essex, to where you're at now. Talk about the evolution of your music and how it's changed from those days.
I mean, the evolution is, well, from our music from then and now, would be growing with time, you know, growing with experiences that we've been through, the good, the bad, just really learning from it and trying to strive to be better, you know what I'm saying? Because when we first started rapping, we never really saw this coming from it. You know, we was just really talking about our life, what we going through, the average kid from 79th Street, but not even the average, us really living and growing up as adults, even when we were teenagers,
right,
you know what I'm
right.
saying? So having to deal with everything that's going on, all the obstacles that come our way in Chicago, and being able to overcome it and really seeing that we could change our lives and everyone around us' lives with music, that's the whole, you know what I'm saying, evolution, just from us being and thinking like 16-year-olds to 21 and 22-year-olds, you know what I'm saying,
right.
with a purpose.
You've lived a life in 5 years. I got to ask, it's interesting because you've talked about it, Herb, just this idea of, you know, you write what you know. You're writing about your life.
Right.
And as you guys get further and further from the street rapper scene, the drill scene, as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, how do you stay connected to that? Because, I mean, what are you writing about now? I mean, you guys are living different lives. You know, it feels like every time I open up a new video from you guys, it's a lot of money and cars and things like that. But talk about, you know, like if you are a true artist writing about what you know, how difficult is it to do that as you move further from what got you here?
I would say you just basically rap about what you're going through at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like we've got all the way further from the life that we used to live.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We kind of 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because we got a lot of homeboys, a lot of family members that still living that lifestyle.
Still face that, those.
You know, and I feel like we are not all the way out of it until we can bring all of the people out of it also. So I feel like we kind of one foot in, one foot out. That's why you might hear us rapping about that stuff still, because we're still one foot in, one foot out. You feel me?
There's a lot on the, I mean, even strictly for my fans listening to it today, I mean, there's a lot on that record that's about, that continues to talk about how you came up.
Right.
You know, and there's even Gutta, which is a song that is really about where you're at and where you've come from.
Right.
I mean, is that really at the sort of heart of the story of G Herbo, this sort of where you came from and how you got here?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much not even where I came from and how I got here. It's where I came from versus where I still strive to go. You know what I'm saying? While I still plan on being with my music, I never really want to get comfortable and say I made it or I've done this much and I've reached this point of success now, so I could really relax. You know what I'm saying? It's still all about me being better at the end of the day. I only want to get better and I want to be happy. You know what I'm saying? I love everything that I do as far as music and just the whole position I'm in with my situation. So I feel like I just, whenever it comes to a situation where I want to be stagnant or feel like I'm comfortable with this, maybe I need to find another hobby, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I it's like what to chime in on what Bibby was saying with the one foot in, one foot out thing, it's like, you know what I'm saying, we are in a position where we could just go out to L.A. or wherever and just focus and worry about music and just say, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. Right. But it's still people who we have loyalty to and family members, people who we care about, who we want
still
to overcome
living on the same
those
block,
situations
right,
to,
right.
Whose mindset isn't all the way where our mindset is, but we still try to take it upon ourselves to show them. And you know what I'm saying? Even with baby steps, just taking your time to really understand that the point of being in the streets is to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? We always talked about what we had because we always talked about what we were up against because we only had so little options to choose from. You know what I'm saying? Like, with music, we were just rapping, and we were still street dudes rapping. We never really understood what could come from it until we grew passionate about it and wanted this for ourselves. Like, I want this for myself to better my life. This is what I choose.
Were you thinking about that? I mean, were you guys thinking about that when you were 16, 17 years old? I mean, it seems like, you know, that maybe that you have a
thinking about what?
Thinking about the idea of I'm trying to find a better life. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly why I started.
Yeah.
You ask me, that's the only reason why I never wanted to work a job.
Right.
I never really wanted to go to school. I hated school. So I think I started taking rap serious when the day I got locked up. And I'm in a cell with all old, dirty guys, old drug addicts.
How old were you?
I was 17. So it's all drug addicts in there, and it's all drunks and just stupid people. Like,
right.
The only people in jail is stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they got caught.
Honestly.
And I'm in a bullpen, and they finna fight over, like, talking about, my block get more money than your block, and this. So I'm in there just irritated. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this stuff serious, man. Because at first I was still doing a lot of street stuff. You know what I'm saying? I was rapping on the side just for my homeboys. But when I kept getting locked up, I'm like, man, I'm going to take it serious.
I mean, that is sort of, you know, and Andrew, you know this too, just the idea that an outsider audience that may not be familiar with hip-hop, and here's drill stuff and you guys talking about your daily lives, would think that, okay, it's just some glorified guys who can rap, who are thugs, who you know, are on the street dealing drugs, things like that. But when you hear the story there where it's almost like music took you out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a similar story, Andrew. That's the story that you hear from a lot of hip-hop artists that come out.
They came out before us, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people lost, I feel like they lost touch with the culture, you know what I'm saying? And really what it's about, just even being artists or whatever, just the average street dude, you know what I'm saying? Even the average guy who may sell drugs on the corner, I feel like his mindset should be to do this to better his life, to better his family lives, and one day not have to do that anymore. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if this would you wake up and you want to do this for the rest of your life, you actually backwards.
Isn't the idea, though, and I don't like this as someone who enjoys the music, is that fine line of the sort of performance art of it, the idea of telling the story of you know, and sort of you know, telling other people's stories.
Right.
You know, as a rapper or a hip hop guy. I mean, talking about you guys talk about living your lives and talking about, you know, guns, violence, drugs, things of that nature. A lot of times, you know, there's a fine line between is that real or is that, you know, telling the story that's around you.
I think everything that is real that we basically put on a record, everything that we put on record is real. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, this is Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really can't escape none of that stuff coming from where we come from. If we want to go outside, if we want to ride around the city, it's.
Yeah, it's
dangerous,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
What he's saying is just because we're artists and you may think we overcome it, we still up against everything that the average Joe is up against. If we want to ride around and be in Chicago, you know what I'm saying, it's a possibility that we could lose our life, or it's a possibility we may be trying to protect our lives and we may go to jail or the next case. I mean, so on and so forth.
I mean, how do you stay away from this? Stay away from those areas? I mean, how do you...
Stay away from Chicago. It's inevitable.
Yeah, right?
Stay in the house, basically. But I love Chicago.
Honestly,
it's hard to stay in the house.
It's hard to stay in the house, and it's hard to stay away.
That's
crazy.
You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, you guys are the preeminent... Yeah, hip-hop artists of our time, and you're telling us to stay away from that, so you just got to stay in the house.
You got to take it for what it's worth. You cannot take Chicago for granted. You can't take your situation for granted. You know what I'm saying? It's certain. Chicago, I love Chicago. It's so much love. We get a lot of love in Chicago. As you can see, we have so many RSVPs for this show, but you have to understand that this is still a hateful city. Someone who may not even know you, who may just feel like he's doing better than me or he is... This guy used to be a thug, a street dude just like me. Now he want to be
jealousy or something.
Now he want to be the principal at South Shore. You know what I'm saying? Like, those type of things. There's wicked people out here who may think a certain way. So you have to understand that you got to move like it.
G Herbo, Lil Bibby.
The best thing I would say possibly, you could probably try to do everything legit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know riding around Chicago, you have to keep, like... it's sad to say, but you have to keep, like, a gun. You got to keep a gun.
You
got to
have protection.
So I would say
well
the best thing probably get you, like, a security or, like, somebody on your team.
You have to have people around you.
That can be armed, you know, that can be armed.
Legally.
Yeah, legally.
Honestly, legally.
Yeah. G Herbo, Lil Bibby in studio with me tonight, along with Andrew Barber. We're talking about the music, these hip-hop artists, two of the biggest names in hip-hop. They're playing at Metro tomorrow night as part of a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. Let's take a quick break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back. We still got to talk about principle for a day, politics. I also want to talk about drill. We haven't really sort of broke that down of how you guys feel about that word.
Mm-hmm.
So much to talk about here on the Download at the Big Table. Lil Bibby, G Herbo, Andrew Barber in studio. Stay with us.
Herbo don't come around no more, I wonder why. Maybe I'm just tired of having the iron air while I ride around. I got so tired of nickel and dime and seeing my mama cry. So sick and tired of that nigga and they got no more some of mine. No, I ain't broke no more, I ran it up, I'm tired of lying. Gotta have new man, can't worry about what's nigga no more, I'm tired of trying. I be on the grind, I don't get no sleep, so all the time I'm tired. Hope it pay off, mama say she tired, I wonder if I'm alive.
Hey, look. I said, if you wanna get ahead, sometimes you gotta go without, you feel me? You have to make a lot of sacrifices for the ambition, you know what I'm saying?
Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me tonight, two great young hip-hop artists from Chicago who are really making a name for themselves on the national scene. Lil Bibby, G Herbo. They're going to be both at the Metro tomorrow night, headlining a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. Speaking of Fake Shore Drive, Andrew Barber in the house.
Hi.
The man behind the influential hip-hop blog who was all about the Grammys. Was that Chance give you a little shout-out?
Yeah, he did. He gave me a shout-out when he won his first Grammy for Best Hip-Hop Song, No Problem. And we were just so excited. This was in the pre-show. And he said he heard me yelling. So he gave me a shout out. First thing out of his mouth was, "Yo, Andrew Barber," and then he thanked his family and everything. So that was a real special moment. I was overcome with joy with that because I didn't expect it, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was really cool, and I felt, you know.
You know, everybody love you, Andrew.
Andrew, are you surprised? I mean, with the guys sitting around, to the talent that's in this room, and then Chance and everything, are you surprised at how Chicago has gone past its borders to a point where now it is? I mean, it really is leading when it comes to the hip hop scene in the country.
Yeah, I mean, it's what I always envisioned it happening. It took a long time, you know. Fake Shore Drive turns 10 this year in October,
oh,
so that's 10 years in the game, and there's been a lot of changeovers. You know, for the first 5 years, it was exciting, but the last five have been the most exciting.
So we got about six in with you.
Five in. With you, man. So, like, these past five have just seen it, you know, explode, where we have all these new stars emerging. And it's just, you know, it's such a great feeling to know that I've been a part of it and I've been able to help it. And, you know, we continue to grow. And, you know, it proves that it works. And what we've done, we've done the right thing. We've picked the right artists to work with. And it's just great to see how it's.
Let's talk about drill, because, you know, I say that word and there's a little cringe in the room, you know, as a word that explains a type of hip hop music in Chicago.
Yeah.
Andrew and the guy and both you guys, I mean, explain it to us, to someone who might be listening in Chicago's suburbs right now, doesn't really know anything from drill to any other style. What differentiates drill from other music?
I never really understood that term myself, to tell you the truth.
Do you feel it's a negative term?
No, not at all. But I feel like it's just a term that people like just placed over Chicago artists, period. Because like I had another interview, they was asking me the same question. I feel like 21 Savage rap about the same stuff that we rap about almost. Right. And mostly every rap artist that comes from our situation, that come from our background, raps about the same exact stuff that we talks about. But y'all,
so where did it come? I mean, where does that come from?
I ain't never really look at it from your perspective.
But it was that sound, and like, you got to think about the artists who have became popular in Chicago beforehand, right? I mean, you had Twista and, you know, the guys on the West Side, Do or Die, Crucial Conflict. They had like a rapid fire flow, very different. Then you had Common and Kanye and Lupe, which was, you know, a completely
rap,
exactly.
And even Bump.
And even Bump, right? He was more even on a lyrical thing, and he rapped over kind of soulful beats. So I think drill just described like the new generation and the new sound, you know, more maybe Southern influenced than the traditional Chicago sound, and more street, because there wasn't really a street artist from Chicago that broke nationally until Chief Keef, like in a major, major way. And, you know, definitely with Keef blowing up, open the door for a lot of people and to put the light on.
Well,
Chicago.
I mean, that's the thing. I think what you're referring to, Bibby, is this idea that it's a sound, but it's also the soundtrack of violence.
Right.
This idea that it's almost by the media, and everyone has said drill music equals Chicago violence.
Yeah. And I think that's why we always kind of try to stay on the outline and the outside of the drill scene, because you don't. Even though we are products of violence and, you know what I'm saying, street violence and poverty, we never promoted it. It's never a good thing to promote it, because we always were trying to overcome it. You know what I'm saying? Even, like he said, at the beginning of our careers, it was certain situations that made us say, all right, this not for us. We don't want to do this with our life. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we never really tried to ride the whole drill wave, because on the outside looking in, it got a lot of national attention and people don't really understand what people come from and what certain options we have to choose from that make you what you are and the type of person you are, or made us the artists that rapped about the things we rapped about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like we never rode the drill wave, because we never wanted anyone to think, yeah, we're promoting violence. And we come from one of the roughest neighborhoods in the city. Turn you know what I'm saying? So it was never a situation where we wanted national attention to say, yeah, these guys –
but you guys were grouped in up, because, you know, a lot of what you were rapping about was about that environment.
Well, that's every day. That's what we see every
regular
day.
Regular life.
Know what I'm saying? That's everyday life.
So in both
I feel like most of Chicago is like that, besides downtown and maybe just a few areas in the city. But most of Chicago is violence, if you ask me. Almost the whole city, unless you're going to move to the suburbs or something, maybe.
You guys have both talked in different times, man, watching interviews and you know, your music, but also your music about the next generation of kids coming up in Chicago. I mean, you kind of talk about, in one line you say they're dangerous in a way that, you know, they're wild without masks on. You know, they're almost careless. Talk about the newer generation of kids who might be coming up that are doing things differently than you guys did when you were 15, 16.
The reason I say that and I believe that is because it takes for us as role models to talk to them, because a lot of kids, they're young, they only see, they're like actual real babies. They pick up on what they see and what they hear and what they think is right. You know what I'm saying? So us, when we were 15, 16, we were literally thinking like adults. like thinking and having to maneuver like grown men, you know what I'm saying? So despite any negative things we done, it was always because we had so little options to choose from.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? So with the kids nowadays, they're more followers than anything. They never had, I don't feel like they're going through the situations that we went through back then, you know what I'm saying? Because they're still going to school and they just listen to music, or they see on the outside looking in, they think it's cool to just have a gun or to just be this cool guy or use drugs or do drugs because they're seeing it. They're literally being followers. Half of the kids, I don't feel like I can't say that they don't go through situations that we go through because we're all from the same city. But I feel like that younger generation, 70, maybe 80% of them are being followers. They think this is what's cool to do. And those are the kids who get the short end of the stick.
And the operative word is younger.
Right.
I mean, I was watching an interview with
What I would say, the only difference between now and back when we was growing up is they starting a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and the internet, the Instagram.
We had, back when we was coming up, first it was basketball. First, that was our first thing we was doing, basketball. These kids, no sports, no after-school programs.
Straight
no
the streets.
Anything. They just 12, 13 years old, standing on the streets carrying guns, trying to be that's their first option.
Do you guys, you're 21 and 22 years old, it's kind of an asinine question for you to ask. But, do you feel any responsibility as adults to sort of preach a different thing?
Yeah, I do, because I'm not going to lie, it make me sick to my stomach to really see, because like Bibby said, we grew up playing basketball. We had a lot of stuff to do with our time, and that's not what we choose. This is literally not the path that we choose for ourselves. It's just we had so many options, so much little to choose from, and we literally adapted to our environment. Other kids are really purposely wanting to go out and be in the streets. That's why they're getting killed. And my sister's still in high school. You know what I'm saying? I still got younger sisters and younger cousins who feel like the internet and what's going on is the right thing, or that's just life. Like, this is, something they're supposed to get used to. No, you know what I'm saying? That's why I feel like we as adults, I want to take responsibility to just.
What are you gonna tell him? What are you gonna tell him?
What I would always say is, the best thing to do is get you some money.
Honestly,
because once you get money, your whole mind state changes. You know what I'm saying? You start figuring out other stuff that's more important. You know what I'm saying? Money is most important. You know, to me, because you start to change your whole mindset. But I don't blame any of the kids, man, because I don't know where these guns coming from, man. When we came up, we didn't have as many guns on the street as as it is now. Nowadays, everybody, it's like everybody has them. I don't know where they coming from. And if you don't have one with you, and somebody pulls and comes by shooting at you,
the situation forces you to be armed.
It forces you. That's why.
What are you going to tell the kids tomorrow? When you with your speech tomorrow at South Shore High School, what are you going to tell them? Because they're going to be thousands of kids in the assembly waiting to hear from G. Herbo.
My main thing that I'm going to stress to them is really following your heart, following your intuition. Because like I said, a lot of kids are followers. People deep down, they know what they want for themselves, and they may want better, or they may just follow after this kid who don't want nothing for himself. This may be really what he want to do with his life. You know what I'm saying? So my main thing to stress to the kids is really just follow your heart, follow your intuition. A lot of kids really want better for themselves and they want to do this, but they don't know how to express it. They don't know how to really embrace their inner happiness or whatever they want to do with themselves. You know what I'm saying? And even if it hurts you or it may hurt the next person, or you feel like your loyalty to this person may die down because you're doing what makes you happy, but it's you. It's what makes you happy. You were born in this world by yourself. You're going to leave by yourself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I really want to stress to the kids, because it's a lot of miscellaneous following going on. You know what I'm saying? And they don't really have a lot of options to choose from, even though we didn't, but we had more. We had after-school programs, youth centers, camps, AAU teams, stuff like that. So, we can all, as artists and
Let me piggyback on that, because both of you, I mean, we just had in Chicago the big news, a chance of giving $1 million to CBS.
Exactly.
You've been on the record, Herb, talking about you want to buy your block. You want to buy your neighborhood. You want to pick up, because where you live, there's some vacant lots or some other things. You want to work together with companies to bring back where you grew up. You're going to school. You're going for computer engineering. You're going to Illinois State.
That was just an idea. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say that I'm going for computer engineering.
Well, let's just say you're bettering yourself.
But not even to cut you off, just to chime in on that. If we come from the roughest neighborhoods in Chicago, and I'm thinking positively enough to build my neighborhood and create options for the kids, and he thinking about, even if it was a thought, going to school.
No, I'm
just
definitely going to school, but for computer engineering.
Yeah, okay, let's turn the computer.
Just to go to school to show kids that it's another way to do it. Right. You know what I'm saying? They will literally listen and pick up to it because they look up to us. We role models, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people can't just find what they want to do with themselves. Once they find what direction they want to go and with their life, I feel like a lot of what's going on won't be going on no more. Like he said, more money opportunities. Or even with kids, you can't really get no money right now. Just find you something to do. Find you something to occupy your time that you love.
Do you guys respond at all to the national storylines when Donald Trump is tweeting out about Chicago and how horrible it is and we should bring in the National Guard? Do you have any emotion about when that stuff is being played out?
I think that's a good idea. I know some people might not agree with it. I know I have homeboys that's heavy in the streets, but I think you should bring the National Guard here.
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
I feel like what can come from it so harsh or so bad that hasn't already? It's 9-year-olds getting killed. 2-year-olds, literally 2-year-old babies getting killed. So, I mean, what could the National Guard do besides what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Honestly, with the National Guard, all they going to do is really, they not even going to lock nobody up. They looking for a reason to kill people. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that.
You think so?
That alone.
But that might be enough for people to say,
for people to just chill. I mean, like, that the National Guard, they will lock you up. But if they feel like,
if they see somebody with a gun or feel like it's a group of guys.
And this,
that scares me.
What about the idea of a police state? I mean, the idea of having to get past checkpoints and things just to go to your house. I mean, that's what people push back, especially people in the middle. I don't really like that.
I don't know too much about the National Guard. If they come in here,
the National Guard.
If you think that's what they're doing,
I don't think.
I'm saying like that's what they. The National Guard, they gonna shoot first, ask questions last. Honestly,
I was just speaking from firsthand knowledge. When I used to be in the street on the streets. When the police used to park their car like right on the corner from us. When they do that, it's no violence. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I feel like if they can bring police to stand on these corners, it'll be no violence at all.
No, it wouldn't.
You know what
it
I'm
wouldn't.
Saying?
But that's what I'm saying. What anybody if they feel like they feel like they've going to be bigger than the law, bigger than the National Guard.
Yeah,
they're not going to stress themselves to put you behind bars. They're going to kill you.
If you think you're bigger than the law, then. You got a problem.
Yeah, you do.
I feel like we've turned into an episode of Crossfire on CNN here with the pundits in studio. Andrew, the scene that's the future of what you would consider to be the drill scene, when you talk about these kids being followers, do you see the sort of drill scene continuing? Do you see artists that are like G Herbo and Lil Bibby coming up who are 14, 15 years old who are doing the same thing, millions of people on YouTube, millions of followers?
I think the drill scene is dead, personally. I think that name got a cloud over it and people moved away from it. I think the scene, while there are, negative aspects, it's a lot of hope and positivity right now. I mean, you know, I think at this very moment is one of the best times to be working in Chicago hip hop because there's something special happening in this city right now on all levels culturally. Especially in music. I mean, everybody's watching what's happening here right now. And it's just a diverse array of talent. You got a little bit of everything. And it would be criminal to try to put Herb and Bibby into a box of drill where they are, you know, this certain type of rapper because they mean so much more to that.
I love it.
It's great insight.
G Herbo, Lil Bibby, Andrew Barber. They are at Metro tomorrow night for a show put on by Red Bull Sound Select and Fake Shore Drive. I can't thank you guys enough. Great talking with you.
All right, man.
Thanks for having us.
They're not joking. The show tomorrow at Metro is bloated. It is a sold-out affair. A lot of tickets all day. It seemed like the guys were in studio, and all they wanted to do was talk about, or people hitting them up trying to get tickets. People want to see G Herbo and Lil Bibby on stage tomorrow night at the Metro. It's going to be a tough ticket to get, I'll tell you that. Great to talk to those guys. Second time we had Lil Herb. That's what his name was, Lil Herb. And, it, you know, I always love having artists like that on the show, primarily because, as we even talked about, I mean, there's so many stereotypes about what people go through or what their experiences are, especially when when the story gets to national headlines. And just to listen to a rapper like G Herbo or Lil Bibby talk about their life at 77th in Essex, South Shore, Terror Town, and give you a different understanding of what people live through. And I have to be honest, like, there was a breakthrough today listening to his music where, you know, it on the surface, it, if you're not a fan of hip hop or even sort of, I guess what you would consider it to be a Chicago style of gangster music, gangster hip hop, I guess, you know, you might not get past the swear words or, you know, just the talk, the overt talk about sex, drugs, violence, things like that. But it really is. There's some poignant moments on G Herbo's record, Strictly For My Fans, where he talks about what he went through and what he had to deal with on a daily basis. And it's when you hear that and you recognize where he's at now and what he had to do to escape that and be in a position to give his art to the world. I mean, it's pretty telling, and both of those artists are continuing to grow and get better, and I think we'll see good things from them. It's great, and they're from Chicago. They're the and it's, you know, just great. They've been friends since they were in grade school. I don't even know if this grade school even counts. Talking about basketball, you know, love it. All right, coming up, we got a great hour coming up here. We'll talk a little bit about cannabis versus the White House. We'll also talk about how to speak Midwestern. And we'll play the worst. Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms in studio. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, we're going to talk with Edward McClellan, his book, How to Speak Midwestern. It's a great, really, he's doing God's work here. I mean, really breaking down accents and dialects and where all of our language comes from in the Midwest. And we're talking about the Inland North, Midland, North Central. I mean, it's really interesting. Glossary of terms and phrases that are used in different states that aren't used other places. Edward will be in studio coming up after the 9:30 news. And at 10 o'clock tonight, Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms are playing the worst. This is where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes. 312-981-7200. We've got pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show. It's that time of year again. All right. And, of course, Lou Malnati's Pizza. So get in on it now. 312-981-7200. But right now, let's talk about medical marijuana. Illinois is one of several states that opened up the door for medical marijuana, although the state's pretty far behind some other states that have gone as far as legalizing recreational marijuana. The medical marijuana industry is in its infancy here. But there are several companies starting up and working towards it being a regular part of this state's economy by providing relief for 17,000-plus patients here in Illinois. But the confirmation of Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the rhetoric coming out of the Trump administration has some in the emerging industry worried about its delicate future, and that's where Jason Erkes comes in. Jason is the president of Crisis Strategy Group, a crisis and issue management firm that specializes in the cannabis industry across the country. Jason, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, I mean, you mentioned the idea of crisis. Is the cannabis industry in crisis?
I wouldn't say it's in crisis right now. I would say it's in confusion right now. There have been a lot of varying statements that have come out of the White House and the Justice Department that has people kind of throwing their arms up saying, what's going to happen? What is in our future? And these are all entrepreneurs that have invested a lot of money and a lot of time, millions of dollars, to start these businesses across the country or here in Illinois. And, they don't know what the future holds.
And there's two kinds. I mean, I kind of mentioned it there. There's medical marijuana, and that's an industry, but there's also the recreational marijuana industry, which we see in places like Colorado or Washington State, California, things like that. But the medical marijuana industry here in Illinois, it's very restrictive. It's one of the more restrictive in the country.
It is the most restrictive in the country. It's actually the program that is used as a model for other states that are adding new programs in. They look at Illinois and say, what did Illinois do? And it's the benchmark for success. It's the benchmark for regulation, and that's what other states are modeling their programs after. So, with all these different statements that have come out of Washington that have been confusing, the one thing that everyone is pretty certain of is a program like the one here in Illinois, where there are 40 conditions that are very specific and very regulated, should be fine from a medical standpoint.
Right. Yeah. Everyone who lives in California, every actor, writer, friend of mine is like, oh, man, I just get so much stress. And they get a medical marijuana card.
Right.
That not so here in Illinois yet. But I have to ask, okay, so this has been something that has been championed across the country as an emerging industry. You hear all the stories out of Colorado that they're making so much money that their budget issues are taken care of. Even in medical marijuana, so many entrepreneurs getting into startups. There's a real concern in the industry that the Trump administration specifically Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has in the past really fought against legalization of any kind in marijuana, could railroad or possibly disrupt the businesses and the flow of investment capital and things like that to this industry.
Absolutely. There have been, three statements that in the last couple of weeks have come out of the White House, from either Attorney General Sessions or, Sean Spicer in the White House that have led people to believe there might be some concern over the future of the industry, leading them down a path that enforcement will be, amped up and people are picturing, okay, is the DEA going to show up at my business the next day? We have to remember that in all these states, recreation or medical, it's still federally illegal. And all the businesses that are operating right now are operating under a memo that the Department of Justice has that lays out some guidelines. Two states and two businesses that, you need to follow these guidelines for us to not enforce the federal law.
So it's a memo. I mean, it's
a memo. It's not a law. It's a memo. A memo that, Attorney General Sessions said last week, I'm going to go in and review this memo. It's called the Cole memo and see what it means. And there's really eight conditions. It can't be run by a criminal enterprise. You can't sell to minors. The product can't cross state lines. And, I think at a bare minimum, what we can expect to see is enforcement of that memo. Are we enforcing those guidelines and making sure that states are, following the rules that we've set forth, if they're going to have recreational or adult use or medical programs. And, what's interesting is there are a couple lawsuits right now from neighboring states of Colorado where I'm from Nebraska and Oklahoma, where they've said, hey, all of your drugs are coming into our state.
Interesting.
And we want it to stop. So you have to look at the Cole memo and say, well, are they really following it? Are they controlling it?
So the question is, are they going to sort of double down on that memo and enforce, and when they say there's going to be enforcement, or the other one, which is a little bit more of a head scratcher, they just rip it up entirely and start fresh.
Absolutely. That's a concern. Where do they start? What are the guidelines going to be? Is the federal government going to then set forth the medical conditions and the procedure that people need to go through to get certified as a patient? Because right now that's being done state by state.
What do you tell, what you do as when you talk about crisis strategy? It really is about looking down the road to say, okay, you're a startup, you're trying to get investors in the door, you're trying to make this business work. What do you tell them when there's political uncertainty, when you don't know if tomorrow a memo that holds the whole industry together is just going to be ripped up entirely?
Right. Well, you have to look at the research that's out there, and you have to look at, the trends and the popularity and support that cannabis has around the country, whether it be an election or referendums or whatever. It has an overwhelming amount of support, both from the public and from the legislature. So, you need to look at it and hope and strategize, for things to move forward in a positive direction. I think all the business owners that are out there, are responsible and, feel that they have a good product. They're helping the public. And even, the president came out and said that he understands that many people are suffering, from terminal illness and that this is something that can provide real relief, which is really the boldest statement that, a president has made, regarding the use of cannabis.
And is there any sort of advantage to having a president who ran on a pro-business platform? You talk about small businesses and he has a business acumen, of course, and that's what he wants to. He talks about taking regulation away. Does that apply to the cannabis industry? This idea that this president understands that disrupting the way that business is moving forward could have a negative impact?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that, you know, he said even during the campaign that he wanted states to deal with this. He felt this was a state issue. You know, it is a big business. They project by, you know, by the year 2020, it'll be a $20 billion industry in the cannabis industry. You know, the downside of that is, from the president's standpoint, is the federal government doesn't make any money off it because it's federally illegal. So there's no taxes, there's no charges, there's no way that, you know, it's not going to knock the deficit out because people are using cannabis.
But I mean, on a state level, it could.
On a state level, it helps tremendously. I mean, look at Colorado, as you said. I mean, it's getting rid of their deficit and funding programs. And I think California is in line to do the same thing, you know, should the adult use actually happen if it's not restricted by Washington.
Jason Erkes is in studio with me tonight. He's the president of Crisis Strategy Group, a crisis and issue management firm that specializes in the cannabis industry here in Illinois and across the country. You know, as I think about this issue, and I know that it's got a lot of play in Illinois, especially when Governor Rauner took over from Governor Quinn and really sort of drilled down on the list of people that could be vendors for medical marijuana. Where are we at in the business? I mean, I had this thought that by this point, 2 years in, we would see more dispensaries on street level and or other things happening. Where are we with medical marijuana in Illinois?
Sure. I mean, I think the program is moving forward. It's not at the pace that people in the business would have liked to have seen it. You know, there's, as you said in your intro, 17,000 patients. And I think people that were going in the industry, you know, when they were applying for licenses, had projected that after that first year, they'd be at 100,000 patients. So, you know, it's far behind. But, you know, there's 20 cultivators around the state that are growing. I think all of them are up and operational and have product. There's 60 dispensary licenses that were given out around the state. And, you know, I think for the most part, those are up and running or opening slowly. You know, the program is working. And, you know, there's 41 conditions that the state has approved, everything ranging from glaucoma and irritable bowel syndrome to cancer and MS that, you know, you can get authorized by a doctor and be recommended to use cannabis.
What's the slowdown? Why? I mean, when you talk about startup communities and the medical marijuana community suggesting or predicting that there were going to be hundreds of thousands of customers and there's only 17,000. Is that regulation? Is it red tape? Is it lack of interest? What is it?
I think it's a few things. I think many people don't even know the program exists here in Illinois. You know, the state hasn't done anything to actually promote the program and let people know it exists. You don't see public service announcements on radio or TV saying, hey, by the way, you know, if you have these conditions, you can use cannabis as a form of relief. And the other thing is the restrictive nature of Illinois' program specifically. It's, you know, very tightly regulated. You know, you have to get a referral from a doctor. You have to get fingerprinted. And, you know, I think people are concerned, you know, is WikiLeaks going to hack in and is my information going to come public? That you know, that I use cannabis, and what is my boss going to think? What is, you know, am I going to get pulled over? You know, is it going to affect my driver's license? There's, you know, a lot of concerns that people have.
It's such an interesting topic, especially for the state of Illinois, which has had, you know, an unbalanced budget for years. And you think about this, it's not unlike what we hear about casinos, this idea that casino revenue is going to bridge the gap. Is medical marijuana, and we've talked about it a little bit in Colorado, but for Illinois, is it a possible revenue source if they said, okay, let's take some of these restrictions off, let's get a little looser with the you know, how we interpret the guidelines from the Department of Justice, and let's try to make this a moneymaker?
Absolutely, yes. You know, with the fiscal issues that our state has, you know, this could be a game changer. Not even if it went to adult use, you know, which is the politically correct way to say recreational these days, but you know, just loosening the reins a little bit and adding conditions like anxiety and chronic pain and letting people that are actually suffering, you know, use cannabis as a form of relief. Also, you know, loosening the restrictions on how you have to get recommended from a doctor, taking the fingerprint out. You know, Illinois is one of few states that has a fingerprint requirement. And, you know, that concerns people. It's an extra step to have to go through. It could be, if the numbers went up in patients, it could be a huge revenue source for the state.
Okay, I'm interested. I mean, I think about some of the new emerging industries in our world, one of which I think of alternative energy source, like a solar energy or wind, things of that nature. And I think about medical marijuana or marijuana, and I think when I think political, they fall more on a liberal side. And what does that mean when a industry that could be something more for the state of Illinois is attached to a political agenda?
Well, I mean, on a national level, being that, you know, there aren't very many liberals in charge right now.
Or the state of Illinois.
I think it can definitely put a damper on things and hurt the industry. And I think that's why we're having this conversation.
Is it a moral question? I mean, is that what it's bringing? Because it seems like...
I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah, I think it does come down to a moral question. But I think, you know, you really need to look at the research that's out there to see that that cannabis does provide very, very valuable relief to people that are suffering from pain and all these conditions that are, you know, that are approved. And, you know, Republican or Democrat, you know, if you know someone that has cancer, someone that has MS, someone that suffers from, you know, HIV or autism, and there's videos that are all over, you know, the internet that you can see people that are suffering from a seizure and they're giving cannabis and all of a sudden the seizure ends. I mean, it's a form of relief that actually works. And I think, you know, the industry as a whole is really hoping to open people's mind a little bit to see that it is actually something that can help.
So looking forward, as you know, what are the expectations? I mean, you're a crisis sort of management strategy group. What are the expectations? Do you think that the federal government's going to move on marijuana? Do you think that you may be able to loosen up the restrictions at the state level? What's the forecast for the industry?
I think at a minimum, what you can expect to see from a medicinal or medical standpoint is the 8 guidelines that are put forward in this Cole memo to be actually enforced and to be looked at, you know, a little closer than they have been over the last couple of years. And I think from an adult use standpoint, you know, it's really uncertain right now. And all the people that are in that business are kind of shrugging their shoulders with the messages that are coming out of Washington saying, we really don't know what's going to happen to our business. I mean, you know, one day they say there's going to be tighter enforcement. The next day they say, well, maybe not. You know, we're only talking about recreational. We're not talking about medical. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. Imagine being in a business where, you know, you don't really know who your customer could be. Say you're in the hot dog business, and one day they're saying, you know, everybody can have hot dogs. The next day they're saying some people can have hot dogs. And tomorrow they may say no one can have hot dogs.
Oh, man. They're good hot dogs. Jason Herkes is the Chicago,
right?
They're Chicago dogs. President of Crisis Strategy Group, a crisis and issue management firm that specializes in the cannabis industry. Talking medical marijuana and adult use marijuana here on The Download. Jason, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
It's Download here on 720 WGN, motoring along. 312-981-7200. What's the worst? Playing the worst coming up at 10 o'clock, Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms in studio. That'll be fun. Looking forward to it. I had a couple worst this week. I always forget them. It's like it almost always happens when I'm in traffic and something will happen. I'll go, you know what's the worst? Really small roads. I'm like, oh, gosh, write this down. I'll remember it. Yeah, so I feel like I should talk specifically about my Costco experience. You know, I'm always ripping on Costco. I don't have a problem with it, and I don't like to point them out. It's more about me than it is them. Mm-hmm. I just always get frustrated by, and we were talking about it early in the week, they're adding their membership or increasing their membership. Well, I went to Costco this week on Monday. It was my job for the fam. I was like, I'll go
getting
Monday
all the
during
stuff
the day,
ready?
Like
mm-hmm.
during the day. And that was the first time I was, like, left to my own devices. Usually we'll go as a family, and it's on a tight ship, and I don't have a lot of time to look at the, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. taquitos.
Oh, yeah.
The extra large package of taquitos. But this time I was, like, I spent way too much time over by the socks. And then I came home, and I had I had a full thing of burrito bowls, a strange, I had some pizzas, like 4 or 5 frozen pizzas with mm-hmm. bratwurst on them, so they're just for me. And then another one was just like a buffalo chicken style jalapeno popper that I bought in bulk, man. I bought like 75 of them. I mean, it's crazy how many they were.
Bring them in.
I should.
Have a popper every now and again.
I could give them to guests. Like, thanks for being here. You need a glass of water. Would you like a popper? Would you like a jalapeno popper, buffalo season?
We don't have any water, sadly, but we do have these buffalo poppers, these jalapenos.
They're really great. They're a mixture of I think, cream cheese. I think peppers. Yeah, so anyway. I it was so funny, and I got up there, and I was like, I might have overspent a little bit. Like, I was already going, eek. And the guy goes, your membership expired.
Oh.
And I'm like, since when? Like, I really was, like, ready to throw down. And I'm like, okay. And then I go, can I do that later? They go, so I can do it right now. And I'm like, oh, you can? Like, just hit a button on the register. So they added $55 to the price. So I was just like, oh, these are expensive poppers. Anyway, coming up, 9:30. Very excited about this. Edward McClellan, the author, will be in studio. We'll talk how to speak Midwestern. So fun. This is such a great little book. I mean, really, Edward's doing God's work. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock. Coming up, we're playing the worst, 312-981-7200. Elizabeth Gomez, Mars Timms in studio tonight. This is where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes, for a gift card to Lou Malnati's. So if you are an incessant complainer, you have to ask yourself, where else can you get a gift card for doing it? Only right here on the Download, the worst, tonight. Well, my next guest may have done the most important work in the history of time. I'm talking about author Edward McClellan and his book, How to Speak Midwestern. McClellan traveled the area to research and decipher the dialects and accents, breaking it down by region, inland north, midland, and north central, and of course, breaking down the phrases. The book has a glossary of Midwestern terms. For instance, in Chicago, we have dibs.
Right.
The idea of saving parking spots after snow. Or in Indiana, they call a potluck a pitch-in. Or how about in Iowa, where they call porta potties kibos? Or in Michigan, the term fudgies, which applies to tourists who come to Mackinac Island, or Traverse City, or other northern Michigan towns that have an abundance of fudge shops. This right here, this is God's work. Edward McClellan is a Chicago-based journalist and the author of Young Mr. Obama, Chicago and the Making of a Black President, and Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. Edward McClellan, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, Justin.
This is amazing. Where'd you come up with this idea? I mean, I've known you. You've done a ton of work. You've done a lot of journalism in town. Mm-hmm. These other books. What brought you towards the idea of linguistics or learning about language?
Well, it started with an article about the northern cities' vowel shift, and that's said to be the biggest change in English vowel pronunciation in 1,000 years, and it's happening right here in Chicago and Detroit and Cleveland and Buffalo. So when we say, and I never thought I had an accent. I grew up in Michigan, and I went to the University of Michigan, and I asked a student from New Jersey, well, what do you hear about what Michiganders say? Right. And she said, well, you say can, you know, with that, and that's called the raised A, and that's part of the Northern City's vowel shift. And, you know, when I go outside the region, it pops up in ways that make it hard for people to understand me. I went to Houston, and I asked someone, how far is it to Dallas? And they said, to where? To Dale's house?
To Dale's house?
Yeah. So believe me, we have an accent in the Midwest. And, you know, what you call the broadcaster accent, that's sort of based on an earlier version of the Midwestern accent back in the 1920s. And as this vowel shift has developed, it's, you know, taken our accent, you know, sort of away from what's considered neutral American, you know, to the point where it's been parodied on Saturday Night Live, in the Superfan skit, but there's also a skit based on my hometown, Lansing. It was called 1-600-Lansing, and it's a phone sex line for men who like sexy South Central Michigan accents.
And then there was the
on Family Guy. You know, they got the whole Northern City's vowel shift into 1 20-second cutaway. It was a Wisconsin nymphomaniac, and when she had sex, she'd say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, crap. Oh, crap. So, you know, oh, God, that's in the front of O. And that's,
right.
Of course, you hear that a lot in Chicago, you know, that long
so it's, O it's sound. So it's such an interesting idea that, you know, we've actually, I don't know if we moved language forward, but we've changed language.
Well,
in this
and
area.
That's one thing I learned is that every language is always changing. Dialects are always changing. Every generation, you know, has its own sound. You know, what you think of as, the classic Chicago accent. That was really strongest among the World War II generation and the baby boomers. And during the last football season, I went down to a bar at 100 and Western, Wrong's Tap, if anyone's listening, shout out to Wrong's Tap, to see a Bears game and to search for the classic Chicago accent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was there. First of all, they were playing the Jags, which of course is hilarious in Chicago. So and the score was at one point the score was 13-10, and someone said, what are the numbers for the square for this quarter? 0 and 3. So, and then I got on the train to go back downtown, and I met a guy. He's in his 30s, and he's a firefighter from Mount Greenwood. And if anybody's entitled to have a Chicago accent, it's a firefighter from Mount Greenwood.
But right.
He didn't even sound like he was from the Midwest. And I told him about my project, and he said, yeah, you know, my dad's got a pretty strong Chicago accent, but my mom kind of beat it out of me. So among younger people,
you
don't hear it as often.
Considered improper almost.
Yeah, you don't hear it as often. And especially, you know, one thing that's really fading away is what you call the D's, Dem, and Do's.
Right.
The D for TH. And some people say that the superfans helped kill that out because
it became such a parody of it.
Right.
Everyone noticed it. Yeah.
People became so aware of it that, you know, they just started moving
away
from
it. Do you think that, I mean, as we talk about different generations and kids that might be coming up in this area or any of the areas you talk about in the region of the Midwest, mm-hmm. are we in danger of losing that dialect, of losing sort of that romantic language that is the Midwestern raised vowel?
I quote a linguist in the book, and he says, you know, there's sort of a class division now. And, you know, linguistics is a way to look at all kinds of issues like race and class. I mean, among younger working class whites, you still have those strong vowels, but among middle class speakers, they're sort of backing up. They're not as strong as they used to be. And, you know, one thing to point out, and here in the Midwest, we have the strongest, what you call, I guess, accent segregation or accent divergence between whites and blacks in any part of the country.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so segregated here. When blacks moved up from the South, they were, you know, in the Black Belt, and they were, you know, in these neighborhoods where they were isolated socially and economically from whites. And so they, for the most part, maintained their Southern speech patterns. And it's always kind of a shock to me to go to New York and hear African Americans talking in New York accents. I was watching Saturday Night Live this week, and I was listening to Michael Shea, and I was just immediately able to pick him up as a New Yorker. And I looked him up, and he's born in Manhattan.
Yeah. Edward McClellan, my guest, his new book, How to Speak Midwestern. You talk about a couple of you kind of break it down region by region.
Yeah.
Break the region into three places. Inland North.
Right. That's where we are. Inland North goes from Rochester, New York to Milwaukee. You go west on the New York State Thruway, you immediately start hearing. They talk about Rochester. And then there's something that's called this may be mythical, it's called the Pop Soda Line. And, you know, of course, pop is a marker of Midwesternism. And it's said that the Pop Soda Line is between exit 41 and 42 on the New York State Thruway. And to the east in Syracuse, they say soda. And to the west in Rochester, they say pop. And it's so fascinating that Chicagoans talk more like people from Buffalo than they talk like people from downstate Illinois. Somebody who read the book said that he was at an event with someone from Bridgeport, and they heard a guy talk and said, oh, he's got to be from the South Side. And then they met him, and it turned out he was from Buffalo.
Wow.
So, you know, so these people, the settlers, the original Yankee settlers, traveled up the Erie Canal and across the Great Lakes.
Okay, so you got Inland North.
You've got
Midland.
Midland. And Midland is, that's across the, you know, central Illinois, central Indiana, Ohio, into Iowa. And the signature Midland word is Warsh. Bob Knight, I play him when I go do demonstrations. He was endorsing Donald Trump, and he was telling the crowd, you people, if you go out there and vote for Donald Trump, they're going to put you up next to our founding father, George Washington.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. So my
that
stepmother
is, that worsh
is, from,
that...
is from Granite City, and she says Warsh.
Yeah, I always wondered where that was from. I mean,
well, it's from, it's supposedly, the theory I heard is in Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania, they say water for water.
Okay.
And so that O, it's like this, the O and or, and so the R got inserted in there.
The third region is North Central.
North Central. That's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota. So this is the so-called Fargo accent or the Uper accent. And I have a whole section in the book on the proper way to use A. And it does a lot of work for a little two-letter word. I was in Munising, Michigan.
This
and
is
I was
E-H.
E-H.
Right.
E-H. And I was in Munising, Michigan, and I was going to mail something to a magazine, and the guy looked at it, and he said, Blender Magazine, eh? And I just totally missed the cue. He meant Blender Magazine. That's very interesting. You know, tell me all about it. So, you know, it's what's known right. as a tag question, a conversational cue that confirms a listener's attentiveness or invites him to offer his own opinion or information. So, you know, an example could be, so I'm in my tree stand, eh? And I see the six-pointer walk by. Yeah? Yeah. Or I'm just going to go grab a beer, eh? So try the Bell's Pale Ale. So many different ways to use A.
You are a chameleon. Look at you. You've got impressions of all the different accents and dialects. I don't know if that's going to get you anywhere, but it's great.
Well, it got me on the download.
Yeah, it did. Edward McLellan is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. We're talking about accents and dialects here in the Midwest area. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
Okay.
And we'll do some more radio, eh?
All right.
So download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Edward McLellan in studio. The book, How to Speak Midwestern. We're talking about accents and dialect. One of the great things about this book is the glossary of terms in the back, the phrases that you've collected from the different areas, not just the regions you mentioned, but the towns. I mean, they're specific to Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Chicago.
And Chicago was such a great place to do this because I did a lot of my research in Big Ten bars in Chicago because every Big Ten school has a bar. That's what you do.
Right.
I graduated from Michigan State, and I ended up in Chicago. So, you know, I learned Indiana. I went to the Iowa bar, and it was on Euchre night. And there were guys wearing Bob Euchre t-shirts. So it took me a few minutes to put that together. But Euchre is a distinctively Midwestern experience.
Well, I mean, some of this stuff will cross over, you know, because of the fact that, you know, I have family in Indiana, I have family in Wisconsin. So you kind of forget what's authentic to one region and what's not just by the fact that we're in driving distance of state lines, things like that.
Yeah.
But there's others that, you know, you're right. I mean, I think about... You know, even Illinois, when you look at some of the stuff in Illinois, I mean, downstate.
Yeah, I had a horseshoe last week. Do people in Chicago even know what a horseshoe is?
I found out the hard way.
Oh, you ate one?
Yeah, I ate one.
Yeah, that is the hard way.
In Springfield.
Yeah, that's why I went to Norbandy's.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the horseshoe is a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous sandwich.
Yeah, I had the pony shoe, so.
it's essentially, smaller one. Yeah, it's a.
Well, we should just say what it is. An open-faced sandwich of ham, turkey, or hamburger on two slices of toast covered with French fries and smothered in cheese sauce. It hasn't really traveled outside the central Illinois.
It's so interesting. You know, it's funny because I was just looking through the book here, and I'm like, you've got things like cooler by the lake, the phrase that is obviously a radio phrase from back in the day.
Right.
Dibs, which we mentioned. You know, everyone has a version of dibs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not called that. Dibs is what it's called in Chicago or Illinois, but you talk to people on the East Coast, they're like, oh, we call that pick-me-ups or whatever it is. I don't know. Well, I'm making that
up. Maybe I'll expand this to the whole country.
You have drill, which we just talked about for a whole hour. We talked about the drill hip-hop music scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, down the line, there's so many gym shoes, which is something you wouldn't think.
You don't say that anywhere. Really, I don't hear that almost anywhere else.
That's so interesting. Chicago.
Front room.
The front room, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. All right, let's move on to some other, because we all know them in Chicago. Let's talk about some of the other areas.
Well, I talk about one of my favorites was from Pittsburgh, and that's Kennywood's open. And that's what you tell a guy. It's a nice way of telling a guy his fly's unzipped, because it's a reference to Kennywood, a local amusement park. At the fast food restaurant Eaton Park, a sign inside the men's room asks departing men, is Kennywood open? I mean, can we talk about the J word here? Can we say that on the radio?
What's the J word? Jag?
Well, jag. Yeah. It's not an obscene word.
Right.
It's from a Scots-Irish term, jag, which means thorn.
I love
so
this.
It's like somebody pricks you with a thorn.
Right.
They're annoying you. So they're a jag.
There's a tremendous, tremendous experience. This word is one, and we had...
And it's only said Professor in Pittsburgh Savage, and Chicago for some reason. I don't know.
It's an Eastern European type word too, right?
Yeah, but it goes all the way back to Northern Ireland, so many of the Midland phrases.
That's crazy. And do you see a difference between, you know, like I said, gym, like we say gym shoe,
right?
Someone else says sneaker
or tennis shoe.
And gym shoe is just something that's just sort of indigenous to Illinois.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand where that comes from.
You know, I didn't get into why we say gym shoes here, but I just know that is a uniquely Illinois Freight. Well, another one I had, and I didn't put it in the book, was, well, wear the jacket. That's a Chicago phrase. During a political scandal, an underling who takes
the wear the jacket.
His boss's misdeeds is said to wear the jacket.
Ted, I can't tell you. Like, tonight we talked about drill. We talked about wearing the jacket in the 7:30 segment about Rauner and Springfield. So, I feel like this is a Chicago show.
No, we've been through all this already.
This is really a glossary of the download more than it is about Chicago.
You need to keep this with you at all times.
I mean, it's really great. It's interesting, too, to be from Chicago and not know what some of the things mean from Indiana or Iowa. I mentioned in the intro.
What are some of the ones you
Well, I mentioned the intro, the idea of calling a potluck a pitch-in.
Right.
You know, that's stuff that I would not pick up. Mm-hmm. I would not. Or you know, the porta-potties calling them kaibos.
Kaibo.
Iowa.
It's an acronym for keep your bowels open.
So, I mean, where did do you pick up most of these phrases from sitting in those Big Ten bars? You do it from actually making a trip to Iowa. Where do you pick this stuff up?
It was both. I mean, I made a trip to Iowa. I made a trip to Minnesota. You know, I wanted to go and find out. I went to Brainerd, Minnesota, to find out. You know,
it was cold.
Yeah. Well, it was 17 below zero when I got there. It really was. I wanted to find out whether the Fargo accent is accurate, and really, it's. It's sort of a legacy accent, you know. You would hear it if you listen to oral history recordings in the museum.
Yeah.
But I did interview the actress who played Hooker number one in Fargo, Larissa Kokono. Right. And she was the dialect coach for Frances McDormand, and she acknowledged, yeah, it was exaggerated in the. In the service of comic relief.
Well, I mean, there's something that we know about these accents that are, so you kind of mentioned it with the super fans. I mean,
right.
There's an exaggeration to for effect to get at the core of these things.
Right.
But I mean, I asked the question, you know, how much of these, you know, can someone with the untrained, you have the trained ear now, but someone with the untrained ear, are you picking up, you could tell with someone's from Ohio or someone's mm-hmm. from Buffalo or someone's from Minneapolis or someone's from Davenport?
I think there used to be a guy on the radio who claimed he could tell where anybody was within 50 miles just by listening to them. So, you know, I think there's certain vowel sounds that you pick up. I was able to identify someone as being from Central Ohio on a Cleveland radio show. And, you know, that's not easy because they have a pretty what you call neutral accent.
Well, I think we're about to embark on a new radio segment here on the download, which is how do you talk? With Ted McClellan, how about that? Great book, How to Speak Midwestern is the title. It's brand new. Do you have any readings coming up? I know you just came from one tonight.
Yeah, well, I think the next one is not going to be until April 19th in Palos Heights.
Okay, there you go. Palos.
Yeah, one of the Paloses. I think it's Palos Heights.
It's
Palos.
There you go.
I mean, that's
Palos.
They got the serious Chicago accent going on down there.
Edward McClellan, the author of this book, also the author of Young Mr. Obama, Chicago and the Making of a Black President, and Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. The new book, How to Speak Midwestern. Ted, always great to see you. Thanks for coming
you
in.
You too.
It's going down,
it's the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're ready to play the worst. 312-981-7200. What's the worst, everybody? Chicago, welcome. Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms in studio tonight to help us. Our judges, our celebrity judges.
Judges. Hello.
Good to see you guys.
It's nice to see you.
Elizabeth Gomez, of course, is on the show regularly as a panelist for The Worst. You can check her out. The Cates, she's part of the Cates Ensemble. They got a show at the Bookseller in Lincoln Square this Friday night. She's also part of the ensemble Drinkers with Writing Problems. Always good to see you. Mars Timms is going to be in Portland this weekend, but he'll be headlining at the Whip Theater on March 17th and 18th at 10 o'clock. The Whip Theater up at Edison Park, 6670 Northwest Highway.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
All right, 312-981-7200. This is The Worst, where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes. We start, like we do every week, with Pete Zimmerman, who kicks it off for us, because that is sort of he's the guy who cuts the ribbon on The Worst.
That's right.
Yeah.
Tuesday
night.
All right, Pete, start us off.
What's the worst?
What's the worst, Pete?
People that hashtag their vacations. When does this become a thing, you know? Andy and Maria take Iceland, hashtag.
Why are they doing this?
It's so true. It's bad enough we got to watch every, you know, like the picture of just your feet by the pool.
Yes.
You know, like you're like, okay, we get it. You're having a great time.
Your cocktail over under the palm tree.
Yeah, right. That's great. But to hashtag it, that's
who else is searching for that?
Exactly. They kind of don't understand the way the internet works. But
yeah. I'm so sad because I am the one searching for it. If my friends are out on vacation, I'm like, I want to escape my life right now.
You're
by watching
for the hashtag?
You. I catch it the first time, Justin.
I don't know how your algorithms work. You can miss it. Come on. All right, let's start it off. Elizabeth, what do you got? What's the worst?
Recently, I was talking to somebody who kept saying, do you know like what I'm saying? And that was really annoying to me because he kept repeating what he was saying. So he's, because I work for an alderman during the day.
Oh,
and he's no like, you know, the garbage cans, do you know what I'm saying? Like the garbage cans, that's what you get what I'm saying, right? You get what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Please tell me what I'm saying. I want to kill those people.
You could just say that's the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, really?
You add an extra step to it. You're also going to.
I feel like I could drown them. this is not going well, is it?
It's always good to know exactly what the people who are answering the phone at the customer service are thinking about. I could drown you.
I could drown you.
All right, Mars, what do you got for the worst?
You know what's the worst?
What's the worst?
When someone cuts you off in traffic and then they wave thank you like you were actually letting them in when you slammed on your brakes.
Do you think
brakes.
It's like an apology wave, though? I mean, because I'll do that once in a while. Like, sorry, and like fake it. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Now, there's a little too much emotion behind these people. Just like, thank you. Hey,
so I have a confetti gun. So when I cut people off, I just like confetti gun it.
Really? Does that go in your car or outside?
Outside
your car?
The window. Uh-oh. Yeah. So
that's a lot of cleanup.
It's not mine to clean up. The city does it.
The city does it.
Which
thank God
for
street sweeping.
Streets in San are like, ah, the confetti gun traffic.
Confetti gun Gomez. That's how I'm known.
That's how you're known. That's great. All right. The phones are lighting up. We also got some texts coming in. 312-981-7200. All right, let's start with Kathy tonight. Kathy, what's the worst?
Well, worst for me is last night I went to file my income tax with my accountant, and only to find out that somebody has already tried to file in their
it's like
income
the commercials.
Tax with my social security number.
Oh, that's terrible. What do you do in that situation?
I have to not file, and the social security and... they're looking into it. That's the best.
Is that on you? You got to do a bunch of paperwork and stuff because somebody stole your tax?
I have to do some paperwork, but IRS and Social Security is working with me.
Well, Kathy, we were having a lovely confetti gun party. Yeah, and kind of throwing it down, but
lifelock is
a good start. I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for calling in, Kathy.
That is the worst.
Okay. Yeah, that's one of those things you only hear in the commercials where like, can you imagine if someone stole your Social Security? You're like, that'll never happen to me.
Yeah, that's not me.
No one will ever figure out my code.
Right.
Do you consider the worst or is that just sad?
Yeah, it's probably
there's
the
like
worst.
A little difference.
I mean, I like
maybe.
The interpretations because you can have some people get serious and are like, oh, this is really the worst. And other people are like, yeah, you know what's the worst? Yeah. When I bump my elbow.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And Kathy doesn't want our pity.
You're totally right.
That's the worst. Like, all right, 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break. You want to take a break, Pete? We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get your calls in here. 312-981-7200. We're playing the worst for prizes here on 720 WGN. Stay with us.
It's going down, y'all.
Playing the worst here on the download, 312-981-7200. Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms, panelists tonight, two great Chicago comedians. You can check them out. I'll get through all their promotion in just a while here. But let's get back to the worst. I've got a good one here from 832. 832 says, the worst is walking around with your shirt accidentally inside out till someone finally noticed.
I've seen it happen. I've seen people do it. And I don't tell them.
You don't tell them.
Hey, man, crisscross was jumping off when I was a kid, and so.
But those are backwards.
It could be intentional.
It could be intentional, right?
Maybe they're a new rapper. They're inside out.
I don't want to step on anyone's fashion.
Yeah, you don't want to call them out. You don't want to embarrass them. Yeah. I agree with Mark.
Really, I tell people all the time. your tags sticking out, your clothes are backwards.
Do you call out stains and things like that?
Yes.
Last night,
also things in your teeth.
Last night I had a one of my Costco burrito bowls. It's really exciting.
You're so fancy.
So fancy. And I had a whole show. I had, you know.
Wait, did you just
live.
Say Costco?
Costco.
Yep. Burrito bowl.
Yeah. I went the other day. I just told a story in the last hour. I went the other day and I bought like 40 of them. Because I was just like, I was in I don't go into Costco leisurely. That's what I did accidentally. And I was like, oh, I got so much time on my hands. And I'm like, look at these burrito bowls. And it was like, you could buy 40 of them or something. I bought 40 of them. So I'm eating burrito bowls every single night for March.
Not like in the food court. That's,
no,
it's
no,
a separate
this
was a thing.
Frozen thing. So anyway, I made the burrito bowl. And then I spilled
it. Do you know how easy it is to make a burrito?
Who cares?
You don't
it's
care
a simple
about
thing.
Yourself,
it was $10. The point being that,
but you
I
could
got
buy like all those tortillas for like $1.
I don't want any. This was an impulse buy.
Okay.
I think it's a guy thing too.
Really?
I mean, I know
guys don't know how to make burritos.
Do you not do microwave dinners? Yeah.
No, I don't.
You've never done a microwave.
I don't
dinner
eat out of a box.
No, you've never done that.
I don't even eat
delicious.
Cereal.
Oh, sorry. Well, we got the kale police here.
Yeah. I eat microwave breakfast.
Yeah.
Anytime,
thanks, Mars.
Other day.
Thank you.
What kind of microwave breakfast?
I like sausage and eggs and a hash brown.
Why don't you just cook it?
Because the microwave version is better, especially when you get home late at night. Man.
Yeah. All right. First off, back to the point. The worst is I spilled some of that, whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, on my shirt, and I didn't notice.
You don't know
and
what it is because it comes out of a frozen bowl from Costco.
Part, yeah. Okay. The best part is that I didn't notice the stain until I did it again. So, like, later in the night when we went back in the office, it was cold, and I only ate half of it because we were rushing into the show. And I started eating while we were ending the show and talking about the show, and I spilled more on my white shirt. I'm like, oh, there's another one. So, like, I had already done it 2 hours before, and nobody said anything. So that was what I was getting to. Not
good story.
The worst. All right. That's it. 815 says, I think it's the worst how the taxi drive like they are going for the checkered flag at the Daytona 500. I'd love to confetti can them.
Ooh.
Callback.
Callback. Oh, nice job.
That. Nice work, right?
That wins a point.
Yeah. That's a point. That's, they know how it works, right?
Yeah,
they're going after a pizza.
They're good.
I'd rather have a taxi driver that's driving fast to get you somewhere than an Uber driver that's like driving, looking at their phone, like, where are we going?
I totally agree. And there is something to be said for a fast yet secure taxi driver.
Yep.
If you say, I mean, the other day I got into a taxi and I gave my address and I didn't have that feeling that I do with Uber drivers where I'm like, they don't know where that's at.
Right.
Like this guy was just like, done. Zoom. Like, he was like cutting through alleyways cutting off people and everything to get to my destination. So I actually like that.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that, like, cab drivers or Lyft drivers tell you you're not, like, your directions are the wrong ones? Or is that just, like, a lady thing? Because, like, I'll get into a cab sometimes and I'll say, this is the way I want to go home. And they'll be like, that doesn't work. And then I'm like, but I drive that way.
Yeah.
But
no,
I think
no,
it's because I'm a woman,
no,
maybe.
That's terrible.
I'm a woman and I look slightly Asian, so they're assuming that I can't get there.
You don't know anything about
a
driving.
They're like, no.
I'll tell you which way to go. We're taking Ashland. Okay, I guess we'll take Ashland. 312-981-7200. We're playing the worst here. Let's go back to you guys. Let's go to the panel. Elizabeth, you got some more worst?
Argo tea, natural spring water.
Really, really going deep on your work, whatever's in front of you.
Costco,
I'm like, this phone, a mouse.
You're really good. You're an observational comic. I love that. I really love that about you. All right, we'll skip you. Let's go to Mars.
Okay,
Mars,
right,
comes
here we
prepared.
Go. You know what's the worst? When a stranger overhears you having a conversation and then chimes in and tries to use your name. Excuse me, Mars, is it? My
Who
point
does
is
that? Somebody
I've
did
had,
that?
Yes, I've had people do it, but they don't get my name right. They always go Mark. Excuse me, Mark?
I mean, is it Mark? Yeah. I heard you talking about Donald Trump, Mark. Yeah. Can I talk to you for a second?
And it's like, no.
No.
A, that's not my name. B, you cannot talk to me about him. C, who are you? I had my neighbor first moved in across the hall from me. He was there for maybe 2 months. I never talked to him. Didn't introduce him to my kid or anything like that. I come out with my son one day, and he goes, hey, look, it's little Yoshi right there. And I'm like, this guy's been listening to my conversations.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, like that.
Through the wall.
Yeah, through the wall.
He's got the glass up to the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what's the worst?
Really weird really
He's like,
weird
did you finish your homework? Did you guys get past that math question?
Hey, man. He's like, how come you never invite me to a show? I was like, what? How do you know?
How do you know this?
Yeah, all that stuff.
All right. 312-981-7200. Let's go to John. John, what's the worst, John?
Well, you know, my wife usually does the shopping. Once in a while, I'll actually go during the week mm-hmm. and get the little extra stuff that we need.
That's good of you.
I'll go to Walmart and I'll get all my stuff. I'll mm-hmm. get in line at, you know, to check out. And usually I'm behind an older person or something like that. And they have about 10 or 15 items. You know, the lady will get done, you know, getting everything through. And all of a sudden, instead of her going to pay, she'll whip out 20 coupons.
People do that still,
so,
huh?
Oh, my God. So now I got to sit there another 20 minutes for these damn coupons.
And you go back and you tell your wife, too, right? You're like, you know, I went to the store today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Guess
it'll
what happened?
It'll take her half an hour. It'll take me an hour and a half.
Wow.
Oh, that's no good. Coupons are never good. It's just, I mean, they're good when
I feel like, don't they have key tags now? I feel like you always get your coupons with a key tag membership for, like, whatever, like Mariana's points or whatever they are.
This lady pulled it out of her wallet. 15 to 20 coupons.
You got to give her a little bit of, you got to give her a little bit of credit for going old school.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I do. But, you know, when I'm, you know, I usually don't do the shopping and I just want to go home. I
check the lines. I walk down the entire row to see who's in the line. And I'm like, all right, this person's going to take way too long. This person, if I see another guy in line, I'm like, all right.
I've had bad luck. And I don't know if it's, thanks, John. I don't know if it's me, but I feel like the lines in grocery stores are getting longer. Mm-hmm. You know, I've noticed in the last couple weekends, because it's been weekends, where they're either understaffed in some of the Marianos and the Targets and the other place, Jewels. It doesn't matter what the brand is. It's just only two people open and lines are like 40 deep.
Is it because I also have like kind of tried to eliminate some of the self-checkouts?
I think that they're trying to push it towards self-checkout. And so they don't have more people on those lines. But then you're like, well, I'm not taking my whole cart of groceries to the self-checkout. And you're just kind of in limbo.
Right. Because the Jewels near me ended up taking their self-checkouts and made them staffed. Mm. And then they didn't staff it.
So they're just empty?
Yes. I think what happens is that it makes you just like stand around the last minute item aisle a lot longer. Mm. So you're like, you know what? I do need that National Enquirer.
That's the idea.
What has happened to Bat Boy since 1983?
They're upselling you at the counter? Yeah, I don't know if they're going that deep. Maybe they are. Let's go to Tim. Tim, what's the worst, Tim?
You know, I guess it makes me almost irrationally angry, but I can't stand it when you come to a stoplight and the car's at the white line or they're a couple car lengths back, and they stop and they leave 50,000 car lengths between them and the car in front of them or them and the white line. I don't know why, but I just want to knock on the window and ask them if they could just pull up.
Is there somebody in front of them?
It's sometimes they either stop with all that space between them and the white line, or they leave so much space between them and the car.
You know why that is? I'll tell you exactly why that is. Because their uncle taught them when they go into the city, keep car lengths. You never know who's going to try to jack you.
That's
what that is. I remember being in McHenry that was like, always keep, you know, when you go to the city, keep a little bit of distance. So if you got to split, you can split. So someone is still.
On the flip side, I don't even know if this is worse, is when you've got the guy ahead of you that slowly creeps into the intersection during the red light, and you're like, well, I'm glad I'm behind him. This guy's got somewhere to be. I'm not going to be driving slow. And then the light turns
green. You're welcome.
And they just kind of put the gas on a little.
Just a little bit. Yeah, right.
Well, on the back end of that guy who stops, you know, 50 feet shy of the line are the people at the end of the block who know that there's room for them to get through the intersection, but now they're hanging in the crosswalk. Meanwhile, everybody coming in the crosswalk's looking at you because you're the jerk that went through the intersection.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's all the guy at the front of the line. It's his fault.
It is like a ballet. You know, especially if you're driving in traffic, you gotta all play your part.
And I'm Baryshnikov, and everyone else has two left feet, okay?
And there's always one.
Always one. All right, thanks, Tim. Thanks for that.
I park back because of the red light cameras and stuff.
Oh,
like
that. Me too.
Yeah.
It's changed the way you drive a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
312-981-7200. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll get ready for the news with Rob Martyr, and then we will come back and do the second half of the worst. 312-981-7200. Elizabeth Gomez, Mars Tim in studio. We're playing the worst. Stay with us.
It's going down, y'all.
It's a download here on 720 WGN. Thanks, Rob. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're playing the worst, where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes. 312-981-7200. We're giving away a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show presented by Mariano's at Navy Pier. It's coming up on the 18th of March. And also Lou Malnati's gift certificate, pizza. Delicious. Elizabeth's going.
They have pizzas.
They do. That's right. Elizabeth Gomez and Mars Timms in studio. They're a panel tonight. Elizabeth, a member of the Cates, the ensemble. They have a show at the Bookseller in Lincoln Square on Friday night. She's also an ensemble member with Drinkers with Writing Problems. Mars Timms going to be in Portland this weekend, but the weekend after that, he'll be headlining at the Whip Theater March 17th and the 18th at 10 p.m., 6670 Northwest Highway in Edison Park. All right, we got a lot of texts coming in and some phone calls. Let's get to it. 815 says, the worst is when you go to the dentist for your routine cleaning, checkup, teeth are all fine. By the time you leave, every tooth in your mouth hurts. That's true. Yes. I think that's part of the point, right?
Yep.
Let's see. I'm always afraid. This always happens at dentists that, you know, when they're digging at the gums and they're trying to clean something, that they're going to break something. Like something's going to break. They're like, oh, we got a root canal. I'd be like, oh no, you do that. Like, that's my bit. Like, that's the anxiety I have in a dentist. Like, they're playing around with, like, I have one tooth in the back that's like, was root canal. So it's kind of like a fake tooth. Yep. And I'm always like, don't mess with that.
Not that one.
I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to ever. So just leave that part alone.
I have perfect choppers.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Chompers, right? Like, see? They're beautiful.
Very nice. Very nice. No, I've had a couple of root
canals. See radio?
You do root canals, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a couple, but I love it. Man, when the dentist gets in there with that metal thing and he's like cleaning in those teeth and just the pain of it.
Stop.
Oh, I love it.
Are they using the metal? My dentist uses like a hardcore water pick thing.
Yeah.
Oh, no. My guy, he's like old school German dentist with like a metal pick.
My dentist, and I've always loved this, Dr. Deaver down on State Street or right here in Washington.
Are we shouting out dentists now?
No, we're shouting out dentists. That's what this is. That's the shout out dentist.
The show's edgy.
He had a great the one time I did have a thing where I had Novocaine and the whole thing. I remember this because they did the shot in the mouth. But the woman sat down, dental assistant?
Dental hygienist.
And right before I got the shot in the mouth, she started rubbing my arm. She started rubbing the side of my arm like this. And I was like distracted. I was like, this is weird. I don't really know. It was like a soothing mechanism. And while she was doing that, they shot me in the mouth with the Novocaine. I didn't even really notice. Like, it was a whole distraction thing. And I asked them about it. They're like, yeah, we do it to like calm the person. I don't really care. I wasn't like freaking out. I was okay with a shot to the mouth, but I was like, I thought that was such an interesting technique. I'm like, why are you rubbing my? Oh, it's over.
Man, wow,
it worked. So that was good.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I have to get my dentist to do that.
Yeah, you should request it.
Yeah, he's like,
is there anyone here to rub my arm? That'd be really nice. All right,
Dr. Bieberman does it for Justin.
630 ads that try to make jingles as memorable as Empire or Feldco, but just end up sounding painfully awkward. I don't have any examples. But then again, if you don't try.
You're right. The Empire guys and the Feldco guys, they have.
Yeah, they probably had some bad. They had some misses early in their career.
Something like Cialis.
Yeah. 1-800-Cialis. Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know too many people are doing jingles these days, right?
I don't think so.
I don't feel
just doing hashtag? Hashtag Cialis?
Yeah, right. It's hashtags. It's all hashtags. They should start doing jingles for hashtags.
Oh, yeah.
For the Andy and Maria's wedding or vacation, as Pete was talking about. 224 says, the worst is a stranger overhears you in a restaurant talking to a friend and comes to your table offering unwanted advice. Shut up and mind your own business already.
I agree.
Similar to yours, Mars.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Mind your own business, people.
I had that one time in my life, and it was very embarrassing, where I remember it was the a first election for Mayor Emanuel. Right, so it's 2011, maybe. So, I went to Wishbone, and I went with my son, and he was probably only 3 or 4 years old. And it was in the morning, and Mayor Emanuel actually came through and shook hands. I get this picture with my son, but it was blurry. So anyway.
We don't believe you.
Yeah. It's gone. Different phone. But I was also like, I was checking a letter. There was like a newspaper. There was like, I was texting. I was like talking to people, and he was coloring or something like that. And this woman came over while we had already ordered the food. And she goes, you know, you should get off your phone. She did that.
What?
Yeah. Like, again, I was like, she's like, and her husband, it was an older couple. Her husband's like, Jeannie, let's go. Like, she's just like, get out of his business. Like, that's the vibe. But I got it. I got shamed as a parent for being on my phone.
You should have been like, he's texting me.
He's got a phone, too. Yeah. You know, he needs your attention. That's what it was. But he wasn't doing anything. It wasn't like he was, like, putting chalk in his mouth or anything. So it was just a shame parent moment. Like a grandma who was mad.
From, like, a female point of view, I feel like men do that to us all the time. Like, really? that's also, like, ways that men try to, like, pick up on women. And so we just do a simple, like...
By chastising you for being on your phone?
No, just like, interrupting your conversation so that they have, they can bestow their wisdom upon us.
Really?
So, yeah, so the easiest way to deal with that is just to, like, turn your back. So don't even address it. Just, like, they start talking and you just turn your back all the way around.
Wow. There you go. There you go. 708 says the worst is getting home from the store, wanting to make your favorite food, getting everything out of the counter, getting ready to make it. You look forward to making it, and you're missing one ingredient. So you put everything away and order a pizza. That is. Although you get to that certain point, what do you do in that? So if you're down one ingredient, like you don't got flour.
I feel like I live in Chicago. I just walk down the street to the bodega.
I MacGyver it.
You MacGyver it?
Yeah, I try to make something that tastes like whatever I'm missing.
You're like, instead of crushed red pepper, we're going to just use these orange peels.
I'm going to use some hot sauce.
Yeah, right. Hot sauce. Yeah, there you go.
Pepper,
there you
some
go.
Salt. I can get some salt from something else.
Although I'll be the same way. Like, because if you're getting all these ingredients out and you're short one and it's going to be a long process, this is an out. It's an opt out. You know, it's an opt out early to be like, I don't have jicama. Good. I'm eating pizza. I'm done with this. I'm going to get my large soda from 7-Eleven. Order myself.
You can get those roller taquitos.
I'm getting a roller taquito and a hot dog.
Burrito.
The stuffed Doritos.
773 says the worst is having a bad tooth right up front and not having the money to do a damn thing. Oh, that is, man. Yeah. So you're talking about, like, you just don't have the money because of, don't have insurance. Like, if you don't have anything without insurance, if you're like, hey,
yeah.
I had an out of pocket, like when I was a kid, when I was like 16, 17, I was such a rebel. Such a rebel, you guys, that I was like, I had a tooth that kind of like fell apart in the back and they wanted to do all this stuff. And I'm like, just pull it. Right, that was a bit. I was just pull it. I got to go skateboard, you know. And so later in life, they're like, yo, you know, the back of your teeth, you have to get that bridged or it'll, you know, you'll have like a weird back.
I had the exact same thing.
So here's what happened. They said, yeah, I didn't do it for years.
Yeah.
And the doctor was like, listen, you got to do it. And he's like, and because you did it when you were 16, it's like a pre-existing condition. And they don't do that in dental work, so it's uncovered. So I was like, what do you mean? They're like, well, your insurance won't cover it. So you just have to do it out of pocket. And it was like hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, so not only is this something I don't care about at all, but I have to put cash to it.
Wow.
So
like,
yeah. But what would have happened to your mouth? I don't understand.
I would have like turned into like one of those Gelflings from the Dark Crystal. Like that was just my whole face. No, I don't know what would happen. Yeah, exactly. Like I was just.
And like, how much would that really impair your life?
I don't think it would have, but it had no like, it wasn't any sort of like in risk of anything like infection or anything like that. They're just saying that after a while,
the tooth will adjust. Like it'll. Because the tooth will grow down and it'll like grind on the gum there and it could possibly lead to cancer.
What?
Yeah, that's
cancer?
What my dentist said. Yeah.
That's the worst.
They found a way to cancer, huh?
Yeah.
Good for them. Yep. Good for them. That's a good alarmist doctor.
Yeah.
That's good. All right, let's keep going. 815, I'm an Uber and Lyft driver. I can get people home safely with GPS and not racing through the loop. And if a customer asks me to go a certain way, I always will. You know better. By the way, I still love your show, even if you dump on Uber or Lyft. So that's nice. That's nice. I don't dump on. I'm a big Uber Lyft supporter.
I dump on them.
That was Mars, right?
That Mars Tim said.
630 says every He says, 630 says, every iPhone update and all the people who complain about them on Facebook. The worst. Yeah, there is a special place.
What kind of friends do you have?
Well, it's a special place for someone who complains about an iPhone update on your, like, goes to Facebook and puts the status. Anyone having trouble with the iPhone update? No. Yeah. Yes. Actually, the answer is yes, we all do.
Yeah.
It's a shared experience.
Anybody else, iTunes says that there's a new one available and they need to download it?
I'm always curious, like, how many more improvements can you make?
I read a whole story today.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, every time, it's like, we have bug fixes and updates on software. And it's like, what is it? It was working fine before.
Yeah,
it works fine now.
The story today and with the WikiLeaks dump about all the CIA
that's
stuff
a big story.
Is that the CIA and other places that do this kind of stuff, they exploit bugs in the iOS. So a lot of times when you get an update on iOS, because Apple figured out that the government was actually spying on you, right? I mean, that's the idea. That's the joke of it, that they're like, the company's like, oh, you know what? CIA's been in here. We need to get an update out to everybody.
Whoa,
that's
see?
What's happening. Yeah. So, like, they're figuring out that people have compromised the iOS, so that's why you get an update.
I was thinking it was the opposite. And they give you the update so that they can put more spyware on your phone. So
yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I usually don't upgrade.
If you're in the iOS 2 like Mars is, you might be in danger. CIA's got old dossier on you.
That's right. The CIA and all the Uber and Lyft drivers.
The worst is when you're an Uber driver and you give free pizza to your Uber rides once a week and you're not paying attention and the customer misunderstands and takes the whole damn pizza instead of just a slice. Wow, free pizza.
I would never, ever get in a stranger's car and eat either anything pizza that was in there.
Sometimes I do eat the mints. When it's like late at night, like 3 o'clock in the morning.
They're different things. That's such a social experiment. You're right. Hey, would you like a piece of pizza? No.
Yeah, absolutely not.
No, I don't know you.
Would you like this broasted chicken? There's mashed potatoes in the glove compartment. Just look over it. Just open it up.
Go ahead.
Would you like to look at the menu?
that's great.
Wine, will you?
All right, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We'll take a quick break here. We'll start to get our winners up for the prizes, and we will wrap up the worst after the break. Elizabeth Gomez, Mars Timms, 312-981-7200. Stay with us.
What's going down,
all right, we're playing the worst. Wrapping it up, 312-981-7200. You still got time to get it in. We've got three ideas of what we like for the top three tonight, but they can be knocked off the block.
Yep.
You know, it's not too late.
It's nothing.
A last second shot coming in the last 5 minutes.
That's right. Nothing's set here.
Nothing's set. Elizabeth Gomez, Mars Timms, the panel tonight. We are playing the worst. Okay, let me get to some of the stuff that's coming in the last minute here. 414, that the worst is that my coworker is still calling my hot rod my midlife crisis mobile. A lot of shaking heads from Elizabeth. 224, the worst is having a toothache and a dentist appointment on Thursday and then listening to you guys talk about dentists. You're scaring me. Sorry about that. 414 also says, you know what's the worst? Coworkers.
I think you should just stop right there.
Yeah, start right there.
Just that. I was just like, yeah, you're right.
Who take three times as long to do tasks that they should. The worst just came to mind when Justin described his dental experience. My dentist was getting ready to give me a shot, and all of a sudden he grabbed my lower lip and shook the heck out of it.
What?
Pulling it out and vibrating it rapidly up and down like 50 times. She was trying to distract me while she zeroed in with the needle. Last time I ever went there. I would go back. That's fun.
Yeah.
Who really? That's not fun.
Who in your life gets to grab your lower lip and move it around 50 times?
Kids.
Yeah, you don't get that experience. Yeah. That sounds like it'd be wonderful. It's something that, you know, like a slight something new.
You need someone to touch you. Justin.
Something new. It just feels
someone
good.
Someone to hug you, maybe.
All right. 312 says the worst is those little nipples that look like pimples on a female chihuahua.
That's a really weird one.
That's. Yeah, I have no idea what that person's talking about.
What are you
about
doing looking at your chihuahua's nipples all day?
Yeah. And then going, you know, these are the worst. Yeah. These are the worst. It's one thing to look at him, but it's another to be like, you know what's the worst? Those nipples.
I wonder how he'd describe his wife's nipples.
Oh, I don't know. It could be a woman. You never know. Let's keep going. 815, the worst is 70-degree weather in February, and you start prepping your new boat, and it snows this weekend.
Oh, go away.
Dude, you knew better. It's Chicago.
Pete's got it. Pete said, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be snowing up in May. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a May-June snow.
Yep.
Like, we're going to be, we're not off the, it's not like, oh, no snow, okay.
Yeah, it Chicago just comes doesn't later. Do it that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. We've been around too long to know it doesn't. So April and May are just going to be the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Chicago.
Man. It's hard because you're like walking around these last few months just knowing the bottom's about to fall out at any point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, oh, it's nice. I'm like, it's not nice. There's something wrong and they're going to get us. And it's going to ruin like that experience. It'll be like game six of a Hawks or a Bulls playoff series and it'll be snowing. It'll be like, oh, you know what? This is the wrong weather. Yep. That's the best time when there's a game six of a Hawks game and it's 75 degrees out and you're like, oh, Chicago comes alive. It's like May. You're like, oh, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yeah. What are you saying? Hawks?
Blackhawks.
Hawks?
Blackhawks.
Blackhawks.
Yeah.
What do they do?
They play hockey.
Hockey. Yeah.
You're nailing it. You're really
Chicago weather is like a horror movie. When you're like, oh, things are going pretty well, that's when it gets you.
All right. 630 says the worst is when someone shoplifts.
God, if you're a virgin. Okay. Sorry.
I don't even hear it. I'm glad I missed it. The worst is when someone shoplifts from your store and it puts you in a crabby mood the rest of the night. That's a specific one. So that must have just happened.
How about when you get caught shoplifting?
Yeah.
That puts you in a crabby mood.
It's a really worst in both scenarios,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. yeah.
The worst is the guy at the gym who stinks way too much before he even works out.
I feel like that was personal to me.
Did he put a name at the end of that? The guy at the gym that
I'm looking
stinks.
At you, Elizabeth.
I know. Frank. Stop hurting my feelings, stranger.
773 says, you know what's the worst? And this is all caps. Sensitivity training.
That guy's got a problem. he clearly needs sensitivity
training. That's so
training.
Good. I like that one, though. That's good.
What do you think happens at a sensitivity training?
Well, I mean, I feel like...
Like you put your hand over the oven?
Ouch. Ouch. Ouch.
They put your finger in a plug.
Ouch. When the dog thinks he's chasing a cat and it's a skunk, 708. Ooh,
that's legit.
Yeah.
414 says tuning into the worst at the end of a conversation about nipples and missing all the context.
Well played.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
I don't even know. There's a couple in here that are there's some good stuff here. All right, hold on. I want to get to the one that I like. 630 for the worst. Start dating a girl. Couple weeks in, everything seems great. You get too lovey dovey, and she says she needs space. The worst.
So sad. Do you have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yeah, I think I have. I think that there's been plenty of times where, like in college, I feel like every time you're at a certain point, you're like, this is going great. And then it's not going great anymore. That happens.
Relationships are like a horror movie. Just when you think things are going well, that's when something happens.
Does that happen to you? Do you feel like, Elizabeth, is that a relationship thing for you? Are you a space person? Or are you like, I need to get out of here?
I don't really know if I've ever had enough relationships to ever experience anything like that. And usually men don't like me after the first date. So that's okay.
Wow.
Men are usually like, she eats with her hands.
There's going to be one guy's like, yes, finally. That's what I'm looking for. Right? Oh, good
Phone
stuff.
Lines are lighting up.
Okay. 214, the worst is when you squeeze the nearly empty mustard container and all that dribbles out is that pre-mustard liquid.
Ooh.
I go out of my way. That's the only thing I like prep food. Whenever I don't prep food much as a rule, but that's the one thing that I will prep. Like, so I avoid that weird mustard liquid. I'm like, I empty it out. I have it upside down. I'm ready to go. I'm shaking. And before I even open it up, I'm like, I'm going to avoid that disgusting thing.
It's the pre-mustard.
Yeah.
The pre-mustard. Yeah.
It really is. That's a good way to say it, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting. Oh,
yeah.
It's a good point.
That's a good one.
Also, crusty ketchup tops.
Now we're getting somewhere. All right, so I'll take a minute here to tally. Elizabeth, tell us about the Cates and what you got coming up here.
Sure. So the Cates is an all-female comedy entourage, maybe. I don't know how to say that.
Club,
but yeah, so we have shows throughout the city of Chicago, two of them at the Bookseller. We have one coming up on Friday night. And then every first Thursday, we're at the Laugh Factory. Although next month, we're going to be April 13th. We changed things around for that show. And I also am a founding writer at Drinkers with Writing Problems, which is a blog. We do a live lit show, but mostly read the blog.
Oh, sweet.
That's all. Yeah. And drink with us because we like drinking.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm always all over the place doing a lot of shows. Like, I'm in Portland this weekend, but then I'll be back headlining at the Whip Theater the 17th and 18th at 10 p.m. I have a weekly show in Chicago called Pimprov.
Oh, yeah.
And that is like every Friday at 10:30 p.m. at CIC Theater. And that's 1422 West Irving Park.
How long have you been doing that show now?
That show has been going on for 14 years.
Wow.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's get to before we get to Patty's show, let me give away some of these things. Tonight, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Chicago Flower and Garden Show, presented by Mariano's at Navy Pier on March 18th through the 26th. Be wild by life-size gardens, how-to workshops, and instructional seminars. Use code WGN17 to get a discount when you buy tickets online. Get details at chicagoflower.com. or the WGN Radio Events page. And we're also giving away a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. All right. So for third place, who's getting a pizza? I got two pair of tickets to give away for the Flower and Garden Show. Let's go third place. And let's give it to 773. The worst is when you're an Uber driver and you give free pizza to your Uber rides once a week. And you're not paying attention and the customer misunderstands and takes the whole darn pizza instead of just a slice. There, now you can get a pizza. We give you away a pizza as well.
Yeah.
All right, for the tickets, for 630, 77, let's do 773. The worst is having a bad tooth right up front and not having the money to do a damn thing. That resonated tonight.
Yes, it did.
It did. Two of us have been in that situation, yeah, so
absolutely.
We felt like that was one. And first place tonight, for Flower and Garden Show, 630, for the worst, started dating a girl a couple weeks in. Everything seemed great. Then you get too lovey-dovey, which is interpretive. Let's figure out what that means, but a different show.
Yeah. You mean that he's...
He just said, well, I don't know what lovey-dovey means to this guy, but...
I would call it clingy.
Clingy.
Yeah.
You get too lovey-dovey, and she says she needs space. The worst.
The worst.
So, that's sad.
Sad. But hey, now they can go to Flower Garden Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it works out.
And flowers make you happy.
There it is. Elizabeth
Even when
Gomez.
You're alone.
And Mars Dims, my guests are the worst. Good job tonight, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks
All right.
for having us.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNRadio.com. Patty Vasquez coming up next here on 720 WGN.